I said, you can stay until tomorrow. Because we stay for the whole week here as members of parliament. One day you'll move from Mikasa to being a member of parliament. So you must get used to this life. So, but for now you can respond.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I'm looking forward to the day I'll be a member of parliament. Madam Chair, we thank you very much, ma'am, for giving us the break, because then we were able to consult and prepare ourselves to respond properly. I'm therefore proposing to read out the questions and then ask a specific councillor to respond. The first question was, is ICASA ready for a switch to digital, that is from analog to digital? I'd like Councillor Starkey to very succinctly and briefly respond to this question.
Thank you. Yes, ICASA is ready and has been ready for some time. Brief and succinct. Yes, we're ready. We've been ready for a while. I think that behind this question is perhaps a misconception about who needs to do what. The requirements in terms of ICASA is putting the appropriate regulations in place and ensuring that the appropriate spectrum is available. And we have the regulations are in place. We have a joint spectrum advisory working group, which is responsible for dealing with any possible interference issues between the various broadcasters. That group has been constituted. I am the chairman of it, and it's scheduled to hold its first meeting at the end of this month. The other issues are the broadcasters ready? Is one of those. And the answer is, in case of some of the broadcasters are ready and some of the broadcasters are not ready. And then the next question is, are the set-top boxes ready? And the answer is, about set-top boxes is no, they're not ready. But as far as the cast is concerned, yes, we are ready.
Honourable Chairman, just to add that... Honourable Chairperson. just to add that the policy directive was issued because of the change in the standards. So we are required to amend our regulations accordingly. So that process is underway.
The next question, Mayor, was...
We have said how is the state of readiness. And the gentleman said they are ready. But he's saying there are no set boxes. And I think the set boxes are key from changing from analog to digital. So what kind of readiness is that?
The issue about the set-top boxes is a little bit complex, because there are two separate issues about set-top boxes. One is whilst the DVB T2 standard has been chosen and was with effect from last year, if I remember correctly, there are certain standards relating to the set-top box that are not yet settled. For example, the provision of the conditional access system, CAS, which is what may be used to allow people to watch or not watch. And there was some controversy around the issue insofar as the question is raised, why do you want to encrypt a free-to-air signal? It's not something that's been done elsewhere in the world, although there are some who are in favor of that. So the So that's the one issue in terms of the technical standards for the set-top boxes. And the other issue around the set-top boxes is the financing for, of them. There is a suggestion that the Universal Service Access Fund, which has been paid for by network operators, telecommunications operators, be used to effectively fund broadcasters or subsidize broadcasters in providing these set-top boxes. And this is something that which may cause some controversy, may be challenged. So those are two issues around it. The further issue is the whole concept of, and on this point I'm not speaking on this last point, I'm not speaking on behalf of CASA, I'm giving a personal opinion, but there is some doubt around the wisdom of financing or subsidizing a set-top box for to the tune of $70 when they may be bought in the open market for $15.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I usually become worried because this, at the end of the day, is being captured, and this is not the first and the last team in the communication field that you are interacting with. I want to check. One, let's just not take his personal views at all. Let's not begin, even start entertaining them, because I don't want a situation where this thing goes through that book and communicate, and the next time when the council comes, we pin you guys, all of you, down on what one person raised as an individual perspective. So better ignore that.
Then the second one, sir, I'm looking at the primary function of ICASA. We are still going to meet the department. I know SABC is on the queue. Whose responsibility is this one on the theta boxes? Because if it is yours, tell us now so that we take it further. If it is not yours, you immediately say it is not your responsibility. I just wanted to, because we're not joking here, maybe honestly, that we have said we have deliberately took a soft stance to you guys today, make some of you to take us for granted. Which we may drop that now and be that old select committee, you know. We can change it now. Because there's a sense now that you're beginning to take us for granted. I just wanted to correct that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You have a sort of a disadvantage. The councillor who is primarily dealing with the subject is unfortunately not present today. However, to answer your last question, CASA is not responsible for the set-top boxes. That is the Department of Communications.
Mr. Sibanda? Councillor Sibanda.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I just wanted to clarify that our role as the CASA is to make sure that the regulatory framework is in place for digital migration. And on that respect, we have done our part. Now, the standard has been changed from DVB-T1 to 2. We are in the process of amending the regulations, also to deal with the issue of channel allocation. Now, when it comes to set-top boxes, Chair, that's a policy matter that needs to be sorted out by the Department of Communications as well as the Department of Trade and Industry. Thank you, Chair.
That's what we wanted to hear. Sorry, sir. Can you switch off the mic? That's what we wanted to hear. You know, we gave you this chance to break so that you go and, you know, put your act together. But now you come back. You know, you take us just like... Never mind.
Yes, I don't know.
It's not that when we are seated here, we don't... follow what is happening. We don't understand. We want to hear from you. So please take us serious. Give us the relevant responses. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. The start date of the dual illumination period is April next year, and the switch off date for the analog signal is December 2013.
Yes, thank you, thank you very much, Mayor and Daddy, for raising this issue. This is not the position that we took on this issue, and I apologize. The next question had to do with radio stations that aren't accessible in some areas. In fact, there was even an example that RSG and Radio 2000 are available throughout the country. We request that we be given the opportunity to respond to this in writing manner. Then the next question was, who issued radio ham licenses and who has these gadgets? Do we monitor them? We propose to give a comprehensive response in writing and on this issue, ma'am.
We will note that.
Okay.
By when can we get the response?
I would say next week. Yes, ma'am.
Carry on.
Then the next question was, what role is ICASA playing to ensure that the Northern Cape radio station is sustained, the COI and Quest? I will request Councillor Sotlikwa to respond to this question immediately.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The answer to this is really that yesterday it was reported in Parliament by the SABC that they have managed to give funds to set up additional transmitters, in particular in the Northern Cape, to support the communication needs in that area. I just want to add that we are also cooperating with the Minister of DST because of the SKA issue, where we have to prohibit the transmission of signals within a certain parameter within the Northern Cape to support the telescope project. So that's how far we are. But generally speaking, we issue community radio stations in line with the availability of spectrum. And if the spectrum is not available immediately, we have indicated that we will look at this matter more closely post digital migration to see which additional spectrum we can apportion to further community stations. There are challenges. We know that the community broadcasters do not have sufficient funds, there are three role players. It's the MDDA, it's the ICASA, and it's the Department of Communication. And I believe further meetings with ourselves and MDDA and the Department of Communication is necessary, particularly on this matter, so that we can redirect the funds and reprioritize, perhaps at a national level, to decide how we measure the needs, because the financial challenges of the different community radio stations differs depending where they are. So maybe we need to have a comprehensive discussion between the three of us. Very quickly on this matter as well, as an institution, we are reviewing all legislation pertaining to the broadcasters. So this project hopefully will also feed into the regulatory environment that supports the community broadcasters. And with further consultation and discussions, we may then build regulations that are better suited to support the needs of community broadcasters who are so critical to the distribution of communication countrywide. So at that level, I can assure the committee that this project that we are engaging is, we as councillors, in fact, will be working across all the provinces
each councillor is allocated a province with which to engage all the communities in that area around the broadcasting issues, and we'll take this matter up further, hopefully province by province.
I think this one of ICASA and the DA getting together is long overdue, because we should have done that long ago. And if you can give us the timeline, and also tell us which councillor is allocated to which province, if you can give us a list of that. And then don't tell us about reviewing all legislation pertaining to broadcasting. And then until 2040, you know, if you say we want to do this, we must know by when will that be, because 2014 is around the corner, and then we will go, and then other people will come, and then starting from there, you know. And also your term will also expire before you do all these things. So there must be some time frame on all this. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question was on frequency monitoring, whether ICASA has a proper frequency monitoring system. I'll request Councillor Lebua to respond. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Basically, we, in terms of frequency monitoring, our equipment in ICASA is very archaic. That's the problem that we have, and inadequate over and above for the number of licensees that we have out there. So most of our monitoring efforts are inappropriate to a large extent, in that we depend upon the licensees for most of the information. For us to go monitoring, for instance, the signal distribution and the signal propagation in the country, it's literally impossible. This is a budgetary item that has been there, outstanding for a number of years right now, and there's not been any concessions to this matter. It is on our request to Treasury to get additional funding for license monitoring, sorry, for frequency monitoring. So yes, we do have a challenge in this respect. We have some of the cases that have been presented to the CCC that actually are related to this matter as well, you know, of us monitoring, for instance, broadcasting, as far as, for instance, meeting the license conditions is concerned. So it is indeed a challenge. Thank you.
The next question, Madam Chair, was on audit reports. It was indicated by the honourable member that the audit report, which is true, highlighted, among other things, lack of performance agreement with the CEO. I think it was very specific. There was mention of a payment of an 8 million rand in bonuses. What has the ICASA put in place to prevent these issues from recurring? So I'll ask Councillor Sokrikwa to respond as far as he can. And if we need to make any additional written response, we will do so.
Honourable members, we have recently appointed a new CEO, and he has signed his performance contract. In terms of the legislation, he's supposed to be assessed every quarter, and we've also ensured that all staff members sign a performance agreement. There have been resistance over a number of years, but this has fortunately happened this year in line with the audit finding. Furthermore, we have ensured that the bonuses, the manner in which bonuses were paid out in the past, is revisited and tied. We've linked bonus performance to bonus payments to performance in this following the finding. I must point out that the reason why that took place then the answers are multiple. We did not we had not established a performance management system. And furthermore, we were legally bound to pay out to the general managers then. But councillors themselves, though, are still awaiting to have their performance agreement signed. There's a process underway. As far as we were informed yesterday in Parliament, the matter is sitting with the Portfolio Committee on Communications, the framework that has been finalised by the Department of Communication. So we hope this will not be repeated again in our audit findings going forward. The organisation will be assessed from the top to the bottom. With regards to the compliance with National Treasury regulations, we've set up the in line with the appointment of the CEO. We've unfortunately had to ask our CFO to leave because he was not performing to the standards required. And we hope going forward with the assistance of the special committee within our audit and risk committee. We have three accountants who will be assisting the acting CFO to attend to all the corrections in line with the audit findings. The report thereof we can make available to you hopefully by the end of September.
Thank you, ma'am.
Chair, I've got a concern with state-owned enterprises. It seems state-owned enterprises are cash cows. People just come in to enrich themselves without accounting and so on. They are always complaining that there's no sufficient fund in these state-owned enterprises. But the little that is there, they can't utilize it properly. So what justifies them to say the money that they've been given is little, if they can't use the one that they've been given? I don't hear also measures which will satisfy us to stop a recurrence of what is happening. I'm not so sure, because if you look here, there was about 380,000 which was used without getting, issues were purchased without necessary approvals and so on. And then we say there are no funds. I think it's unfortunate the CEO is not here. Is he here? It's unfortunate he's not here, because he's an accounting officer. Because we need from now onwards that the finances should be sound. Thanks.
Chairperson, for me, really, the response it can't be acceptable. The responsibility of the board members is to have an oversight over the institution. And that oversight is also a responsibility to put systems in place. If I look in terms of the financial matters of the institution, it looks as if there is maladministration in it. Because it doesn't only deal with performance agreements, it also deals with procurement issues. And if it deals with procurement issues, which means there's no systems in place, and that the PMFA had kicked in 2008 or 2007, when the minister, the previous minister Trevor Mengele, was still there. And today, almost 10 years along the line, we are still putting systems in place where of course that your PMFA is prescribing which processes to follow. As the chairperson says, that your term and my term will come and exceed, and your next person will also come and say, we are going to put processes in place. If I must ask my last question, was that the second CEO in the institution since the PMFA? So that
that we are having this crisis year in, year out. So I find it very difficult to understand, even the explanation. And you see, it now goes to the responsibility of the board members.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Yes, we agree. I agree fully with you. We haven't had systems in place. We've had poor internal control. I must indicate that, as you've correctly asked, how many CEOs have we had? We've had challenges with our CEOs. But our biggest challenge is our CFO, who we then had to dismiss this year. In line with the repeated findings over the past 2 or 3 years. So we've attended to that matter. Our further challenge, I must indicate this, is the legislation itself. And we managed to raise this with the Deputy Speaker of Parliament around the fact that you have the PFMA and you have the Electronic Communications Act. In terms of the PFMA, the CEO is the accounting officer. In terms of the Electronic Communications Act, the chairperson is the accounting officer. So that role clarification is somehow clouded in the legislation. And we, in fact, it's a problem of mostly chapter 9 institutions to a point that we are all in agreement, at least when we all met on Monday, that that point should be cleared. You know, the conflicting bits of legislation on who takes final accountability and responsibility for the lack of some of the internal control issues. We have appointed a chief audit in within ICASA. We've had further challenges. I must be frank, Honourable Member, we've had further challenges with that particular appointment, but we are looking to correct it by ensuring that the skill set, the support base is provided, and the resources are provided to enable that particular resource to fit its the tasks allocated to it. So it's I would admit that we have challenges, and perhaps the person best placed to answer this is the CEO. We can provide you a written report, the best date I can give you is the end of this month, because by that time we'd also have to have given corrective actions going forward. We should also have to have shared it with the Portfolio Committee and the Department of Communication.
Yes, to understand. Your CEO is accountable to the board. He serves on the board. He is actually the technical advisor of the board. So anything which the board wants to know in the operations of the organization, it comes via your CEO. Is that correct? Is that not the platform where you raise your issues?
And also maybe to add to say you have seen that the legislation does not give you a way of working properly. Why didn't you discuss that with the Minister of Communications? You say you have spoken to the Deputy Speaker. So how long will it take? How long will it take if you why don't you go straight to the Minister of Communications to say we are unable to do 1, 2, 3 because of these pieces of legislation? Can't we urgently do amendment?
Honourable Member, in fact, this matter, the AG, Auditor General, discussed it with our Minister, discussed it with the previous Minister. And there was an attempt to address it in legislation by the previous DG of Communication. And what she attempted to do was to introduce a COO so that you'd then do away with this conflict. But unfortunately, the tertiary legislations are very clear CASA needs to have a CEO. So that change would then have conflicted with Treasury legislation. We raised it with the Deputy Speaker's office on Monday because we invited the chapter at nine institutions to make comments on the Qatar Asma report. So it is in that light that we raised it. But otherwise, we have been engaging our ministers, and the DG is full aware. The current DG is full aware of the matter.
We will get a written response on that matter, because I think with us as a committee, select committee, we can still ask the minister what is happening.
With a definite proposal, Chairperson, you must have proposals so that we take it from there. Thank you very much, ma'am. The next question was on the social networks. The question really was who controls the licensing and the regulation of social networks. I'll ask Councillor Sibanda to respond to the question.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The issue around social networks, it's a topical one. However, our role as ICASA is simply to make sure that South Africans have access to electronic communication services, including internet services. We license internet service providers. We provide the spectrum to make sure that services are provided. However, when it comes to the content that is then published on internet sites, we do not have any mandate, we do not have any authority to regulate the content. However, there are discussions, for instance, under the Internet Governance Forum. There was actually a conference that we attended last week, but as we speak right now, there is no regulatory mechanism around internet content. With respect to broadcasting, our role there with respect to content is to actually approve the code of practice that is developed by the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, which is a self-regulatory body. They develop a code of conduct, and then as the CASA, we approve that code, and then it is implemented by the BCSA. Again, that is as far as our role is concerned, although obviously we also have a role to play in terms of local content and all that. So unlike with the internet, there's no self-regulating body, there is nothing, it's not regulated. And as the CASA, we are not even mandated by legislation to regulate internet content. So it's an unregulated terrain.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Sibanda. Honourable Chairperson, the next question had to do with fair prices and competition policy. A statement was made by Honourable Member that some operators are aligned to foreign companies and yet operate in South Africa. How does ICASA ensure that ICASA doesn't enter the political arena whilst ensuring that the bigger networks do not suppress the smaller ones? I think this is how it was put. Councillor Sibanda, through you, Chair.
I've deferred to my friend next to me.
Honourable Member, I hope I understood your question, but just on one angle. Yes, the foreign ownership of the element in our large operators is dominant. It's increasingly so. In fact, we have observed a pattern. Most operators, because of the lack of legislation on this matter in the ECA, most operators are allowing themselves, are allowing their shareholding to be taken over by foreigners. I can cite Vodacom, Neotel, and the and MTN, but MTN is just, it's very difficult to determine exactly what threshold it's sitting at. But there is that tendency because the legislation is silent. We have highlighted this to DOC in proposed amendments to the legislation. We've also highlighted this to the National Treasury on what this, on the complexities of this, because obviously then you have questions around where do the dividends flow? Do they go towards infrastructure development? What percentage? Or is it an outflow? What percentage? Are the final operators using the enormous profits? I mean, if you look at Vodacom, 56 billion in one financial year. Are they using those profits to fund infrastructure development in other countries where they seek to make further revenue? What attention are they paying to ensuring that there's infrastructure, the correct infrastructure, it's distributed countrywide. So those questions are being asked. We hope they'll be attended to. I must point out that not so long in 2003, I think, government had made a commitment to the WTO that we would cap the foreign ownership in the telecoms sector. But in practice, it hasn't been followed through in legislation. I must say, however, in the broadcasting sector, it's different. The foreign ownership threshold is contained by legislation at a threshold of 20%. So that's the difference between the two. The fact that you have these different legislative approach to the two different sectors, if you like, one for broadcasting and a different one for telecommunications.
Maybe the person, because I'm listening to the ICASA board, this is now the second response wherein blame, correctly so, is put on legislation. I think you should begin to understand that yes, we would be seen as grilling you. Some of you may leave this boardroom with blushing faces and all, but that is not the intention. The intention is for you also as a board to begin to say to us, here are the hindrances, here are the bottlenecks. Here you are politicians, members of parliament, and you are able to relook and review the legislation, because this particular piece of legislation has got these limitations for our own implementation. So it would then, Chairperson, be suggested, if even this one too, you could be able to lift these obstacles, these unforeseen hindrances which begin to make your work as the board difficult, so that we take it from there. If Chairperson, this also could be documented so that we are able to make some follow up and some intervention. Thanks, Chairperson.
That's it,
thank you, ma'am. The next question was regarding specifics about the glide path. We have displayed it once more. That is the slide that is relevant to the question. I don't know whether Councillor Sibanda would like to comment on the slide to explain it thoroughly.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the slide actually shows the reductions over time in the interconnection rate. Before March 2010, the rates were at 1.25 rand, and then there was a reduction, a voluntary reduction to 89 cents off peak. And then in terms of our regulations, the first reduction occurred in March this year. That is a rate of 65 cents off peak and 73 cents peak. The next reduction is going to occur in March next year to a level of 52 cents off peak and 56 cents peak time. And then from March 2013, we will actually do away with the differentiation between peak and off peak times and have a flat rate of 40 cents across the board. But Chair, these are only calls to a mobile network or location. The glide path also applies to calls to a fixed line or a fixed network. And these are from March this year, they actually decreased to 19 cents. Then they will decrease again. They decreased from a peak this year of 28 cents, off peak 19 cents, and then next year in March they will decrease to 25 cents peak and 19 cents off peak, and then from March 2013 again we are doing away with the differentiation between peak and off peak times, and we'll have a flat rate of 19 cents between ON area codes. This means a call from, for instance, 021 to 011, whereas the within ON area code is a call within from 021 to 021. So that's the meaning of ON and within ON and between ON. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. Then there was the question on the MDDA, the relationship between ICASA and the MDDA, especially when it relates to community broadcasting. And the question specifically was, who is responsible for continuous support of community broadcasters? Again, I'm going to defer to Councillor Sokrikwa.
Okay. Honourable members, as I indicated earlier, it's a threesome, it's a triangle. Ourselves, DOC, and ICASA, to support the community radio stations with MDDA. Oh, did I not complete my? I'm thinking very fast and talking very slow. But it's MDDA, the DOC, and ourselves. I think what is clear is that maybe we may want to refine our regulations to have a structural relationship between the three of us contained in legislation, so that we don't engage as and when, only when the complaints reach a particular peak. So hopefully we will attend to that. We've indicated to the CEO, who is sitting there, honourable members, that we will definitely meet with them as soon as we can, so we can address the issue of community radio stations resources and the funds that they need to pay in line of the legislation. We are also limited.
The point of order, Chairperson, to Mr. Sotrigo, is that we do not have the CEO of MDDA in this bottle.
That's the beauty of carrying so many hats. But just
got a message. He got a message. From here, he's going to do his work.
Thank you. I hope I've addressed the question.
Thank you very much, ma'am. It was pointed to us that there was an error on page 30. This is regarding NP. We apologize for that, and that will be corrected. Then the next question, ma'am, was on how many licenses were issued per province, especially in the rural areas. We would like to request that we respond to this in writing. as indicated.
Time frame.
It should be within 2 weeks. Because we have to consolidate the information properly.
You've got the information. You have the information. Even by tomorrow, if you go into your what?
Well, the only the part of the question which is a bit tricky is per province. But nonetheless, give us a week, man.
That's why I said one of the days you won't be there. Like one of the days we won't be there. So when you get into office, already there is information that you find in that office. So you've got that information by, today is Wednesday. Let's say, can we get this information by Monday?
We will try our best, ma'am. Then there was the question on litigation. Are there preventative measures to avoid litigation? Councillor Glovo?
Thanks, Chair. On preventative measures, I think we try by all means to come up with regulations that will not be tested in court, but unfortunately, some of the litigation is around the kind of regulations that we have issued. But what we also work on is the cases that we refer to the CCC, we also try to avoid the actual court litigations that will involve some money. Thank you.
The next question was on BlackBerry. The question was, what is ICASO's role on this matter? I think it is linked to what the Deputy Minister was quoted as saying in the media. But then I would like to ask Councillor Starkey to elaborate a little bit on this issue.
Thank you, Councillor. The Business Day reported yesterday that the Honourable Robert Papella was saying that government is considering following Britain and Saudi Arabia's call for decryption of BlackBerry messages if crimes are committed using the BlackBerry service. As is pointed out in that article, this issue is covered by the Regulation of Interception of Communications and the Communication Provision Related Information Act, known as RICA for short. The ICASA doesn't have a direct role to play in terms of that act. But if the article does say that it is in fact covered by the Act already.
Thank you, ma'am. Then the next issue was on the settlement of cases. We were expected to explain if ICASA used money to settle, and if so, by how much. And there was also reference to possible corruption based on willful errors. We propose to respond this in writing, ma'am. Then the next question was on the approach to broadband. I think this specifically referred to page 22. How far are we with regard to the colloquium arrangements for the September colloquium? Councillor Sotipo?
Honourable members, there are some projects that we identified in our business plan and which DOC identified in theirs. And upon looking at that, the Portfolio Committee on Communications suggested that we coordinate our efforts or that we merge them, especially in light of the lack of funding. This is one of them. So we had already commenced with our consult a workshop on broadband within ICASA. After further discussions with DOC, we then agreed that maybe we'll have a nationwide colloquium which will be funded by DOC. And the commitment from DOC is that we could have it by the end of September. So hopefully that is still underway as far as we are aware. But internally we had a workshop with industry members on this.
And then going forward on the issue of coordination of infrastructure, again, that's another project where we are coordinating with DOC. And DOC is extremely critical here because they have better access at a national level to the key role players. Those are the heads of municipalities, the premiers, and so on. And we will endeavor to ensure that this committee too is invited to that discussion so that we have an integrated approach towards the broadband nationwide. With regards to the, I think I've covered the criteria for the body that they have set up. This is done by DOC. We are not certain, but we can find out.
Nationwide broadband committee.
Yes, the criteria for setting up the broadband committee are also being formulated by DOC.
But here you are saying establish an ICASA industry sector and nationwide broadband committee. This is ICASA.
Because of our engagements with DOC, they have decided to lift that one. They are running with it. Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. Perhaps Councillor Sotiko might also want to refer to page 22 of the slides. This is item 6. There was a request that we expand on this issue. The Councillor Sotiko has in some way touched on the issue, but perhaps she might want to make some further additions. This is the improvement of coordination of infrastructure initiatives between local and provincial governments and so on and so forth.
She has done that.
And ma'am, there's the last issue has got to do with areas with no signal, including hospitals. How does ICASA deal with most rural areas in relation to, for example, networks? We would like to request to respond to this issue in writing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but the time frame.
Time frame. Next Friday. Next week Friday.
Oh, next week Friday.
Yes.
Thank you. Even the one that I said you can take it to
Monday, excluding
yeah.
that one.
No, you can take it, shift it to
oh, okay.
Friday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I think we have done. You've done a good job. We are only going to wait. Thank you, Chairperson. Just before you finish with this meeting, as a whip of this committee, I'd like to indicate that what happened during this meeting should never ever happen again with ICASA. I'm saying this because in December 2009 we had an oversight visit with ICASA offices, and the meeting was just like a circus, a Mickey Mouse meeting, something I don't know how to describe that one. And when something happens again, it doesn't augur well with the committee, and I don't want to see members upset in our meetings. So I'm pleading with ICASA. We are still going to be together up to 2014. So let's have respect and be businesslike in all our meetings. Thank you.
Let me thank the Councillor very much, and thanks to Mr.
Mahache
for acting on behalf of Mr. Nube. Yeah.
Yeah, you must tell him that we appointed you to act. Because we didn't want to say loudly that you are acting, you are acting, but you did well, you did a good job. We will see you. We will still meet. Because we've got a long way to go. 2014 is very far. And we want, when our term ends, we want to see a more implemented, networks in the rural. The rural. You know, when I say rural, and I mean rural, you must actually do some research all over South Africa, get somebody to research the areas that need networks. And then communication with this committee is so important. Because as you were raising issues of legislation, we don't sit there and say, we have, we can't do 1, 2, 3, and when you appear in front of the committee, then you say, MDDA, SABC, we want you to talk to us before we even call you. Thank you and farewell. You can sit there at the back. You are invited to listen to what SABC will say about you. Because you've also been mentioning them, isn't it? Also, you see, we didn't know that. That should have been on your present tomorrow. That's good. They've done a study on rural areas. You know, that's very good. They should have said that long ago. Thank you.
Dr. Ngubane, Mr. Mulife, I welcome you all, but I've got a small comment. Your team, your delegation, is terrible. Full of men. Few women. Really. Let me welcome you to the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. We are the Select Committee from the National Council of Provinces. Most of the people don't know the NCOP, and it's like that. Most of the people outside don't know the NCOP, don't understand what the NCOP is, but I think SABC is the one that should be doing the education to the people, to teach the people, to educate the people, to say this is Parliament. And in Parliament, we've got two houses. We've got the National Assembly, and we've got the National Council of Provinces. That's where the interests of the provinces are. We deal with issues of provincial interest. And so I think this message from here, from today, we will be able, in the NCOP, not only in this committee, in other committees of the NCOP also, people will know what is the National Council of Provinces doing, because there's a lot that is being done. I would, you know, such an example of if there are two members, one from the NA, one from the NCOP, when somebody introduces, we say, this is Mrs. Mabija, a member of the National Council of NCOP, not even full NCOP, and this is Mr. Mlenzana, an MP, whereas they are both MPs, members of Parliament. So SABC, I heard that you're going to have 24-hour news channel, and I said, good. That's where we're going to feature as NCOP. Now we're going to have enough space that will also educate the people. Welcome. And then this issue of gender. We must just look at it, how we can solve it. Thanks. There are four women here. We will hear where they are from. We are going to introduce ourselves so that you know that from what provinces are we. I'm Priscilla Temba. I'm the chairperson of this committee, the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. And I come from the beautiful province where the sun rises, Mpumalanga. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Mabija Rivuhane, representing Limpopo. I would like to indicate that in this select committee, we are okay gender-wise. The chairperson is a female, the secretary is a female, the whip of the committee is female. So even the researcher is a female. So we need to get an applause.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Zola Mlenzana, the member of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. I'm here representing the interests of the people of the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is O'Neill De Beer. I am from the Western Cape.
Good afternoon, Chair and members from the South African Broadcasting Corporation. I'm Vuyiselwa Jacobs, coming member of this committee, coming from Hack Freistad, Gauteng is fair. Chair, I just want to make a slight comment, with your indulgence. You know, when the delegation from SABC was here, I thought really they have disarmed me. Yeah, because I thought they have undermined us, giving us a low-powered delegation. Because yesterday I've seen Mr. Molefe, Dr. Ngubane on TV, but when a delegation was there, they were not here. So I think the strategy has worked.
Sanbona. My name is Pat Sambali. I'm very bit of a Zambani in representing Mpumalanga province. Thank you.
Thank you, Bani. Can you introduce your delegation and yourself?
Thank you, Chairperson. And members of the Select Committee, I'm Ben Mbane, Chairperson of the SAPC Board.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Phil Molefe. I'm the acting group CEO of the SABC. But before I open for further introductions, I want to deal just with two statements with your indulgence, Madam Chair. One is the high-powered delegation has been here since 10 a.m., but we realized that the room is not big enough for all of us. So Dr. Ngubane and I have been outside throughout the proceedings. The second one is I think we have a fair representation of the female leadership in the SABC. You will be pleased to learn, Madam Chair, that heading up our province in Mpumalanga, your province, is a woman, Suli Mutsweni, and also heading up the province, and they will introduce themselves, I'm just clarifying that statement. Heading up KwaZulu-Natal is also a woman, Zamambo Mkhize, and heading up, in fact, the executive seat of power in Tshwane is a woman, Mabatu. And also heading up the Western Cape, you will be pleased to learn, Honorable Member, is a Shinas, also a woman. And in my office, the executive manager is a woman. So behind whatever successes I make, there is Malibengwe, Igama lamaKhosikazi. So I think we're doing well. We're not there yet, Madam Chair. We want to have 100% representation, but that means Dr. Ngubane and myself evicting ourselves from this seat. So for now, we'll be around, Madam Chair. So Suli, starting with you, please introduce yourself and the member of the board. I will also take the opportunity to introduce him and then leave the rest to the senior management. Member of the board is Mr. Lumko Mtinde. Mr. Mtimde is also the chairperson of the subcommittee of the board on technology. Thank you.
Good day, honorable members. My name is Sudim Mtweni. I'm the acting provincial general manager for Mpumalanga.
Good day, Chair and honorable members. My name is Justice Ndaba, head of strategy at the SABC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We are honored. We can see we are part of NCOP today. We are very excited to be part of NCOP. You know, it is the first time that we come here. And for us, I represent, I'm the group executive, stakeholder relations and provinces. All those women, they report to me. So that's why I'm so powerful when it comes to women, because they are behind me. And you know, what is very interesting, just to add on, Mr. Molefe, we took a decision, even those who are acting now, it's only women. If you check, especially in the provinces, we don't have issues when it comes to women issues. Because we are saying, and I have HR here, you know, they always talk about their procedure and what, and I'm saying, hey, gentlemen, when are we going to fix this? Because, I mean, if we want women, then we put women there. Because I know that they are capable and they are doing very well. So far, so good. But we are very excited to be here. I mean, it is the first time for SABC, especially when you look on the provinces. I mean, people they don't know. And these people who are there at the provinces, they are the ones who are doing spade work, who are working very hard. And we accept that. And when you know there, it's also a network so that they know what you are doing. When you are there, you go in the provinces, you can just call them because they are responsible. They are the premiers there. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair and members and board executive, my name is Zola Yeye. I'm from the Eastern Cape, the Provincial General Manager, Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Shanice Musaji. I'm the Acting Provincial General Manager in the Western Cape.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. My name is Richard Waghorn. I'm the Chief Technology Officer of the SABC.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Noma Zulumda, Office of the GCR.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. I'm Mabatola Magoji, PGM for Gauteng.
Good afternoon, honorable Chair and members. My name is Thabang Sonyane. I'm responsible for the Free State and Northern Cape provinces as the Provincial General Manager. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tloto Siru. I'm the Provincial General Manager of the Northwest Province.
Good afternoon, Chair and members, and members of the SABC Board. My name is Victor Rabuanzo, still the Provincial General Manager of Limpopo. Thank you very much.
Honorable members of the House, I am Zamambo Mkize, General Manager in KZN. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good afternoon, Chair and the honorable members. I'm Keiza Khanyao, responsible for communications for the SABC.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Dudu Mwenase. I'm the general manager of stakeholder relations for the SABC.
When we counted women, we.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. My name is Mosholo Lepaka, manager in the group in the office of the stakeholder relations and provinces.
Good day, Chair and honorable members. My name is Andile Noganda. I'm the communications manager for the SABC in the province.
Afternoon, members. My name is Ayanda Krishe, the backbencher responsible for parliament in SABC.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Msuke Sitwala, heading news in the province.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Pumelele Loli Sibisi. I come from KZN. I am the committee secretary.
Good afternoon. My name is Renelle Barreto. I'm the researcher for the committee.
I think now we know who is here. Can I hand over to you, Mr. Dr. Ngubane, for the presentation?
Thank you, Chairperson.
As Mr. Mswaneng has remarked, it is indeed a privilege to be here for the first time since January 10, when we took over as a new board in 2010 as SAPC. We have never had an interaction with the NCOP. So I think this is a very positive development. I was a participant in at CODESA and the multi-party talks. The structure of our parliament was heavily discussed and debated. And the NCOP was seen and conceptualized as the way of bringing in provinces into national legislation. So it has a very lofty position within the conceptualization of our new democracy. So I'm happy that we are here, because there are many, many issues that we have to address at the provincial level. The way they participate in the procurement processes, the way they become agents for the management of risk across the whole organization, and the way they promote the SAPC brand to the people of South Africa has got to be explored further and strengthened. So far, they have been rather passive in terms of not really participating at the national level in all these very important tasks. So I'm hoping that this is the beginning of a new chapter at the SAPC, and we're going to work with the select committee to develop and strengthen this further. The turnaround strategy was developed by the SAPC to ensure recovery, stability, and sustainability, to enable the organization to deliver upon its mandates. The SAPC is operating in an increasingly competitive environment that is evolving with the adoption of digital technologies and a new creative economy. The SAPC needs to adapt, change, and respond accordingly to these market externalities. The turnaround strategy is aimed at returning the organization to a reputable public service broadcaster that all of our stakeholders can be proud of. The key objective is to ensure the SAPC's financial viability, strengthen its governance controls, and meet its audience requirements through driving public value. While strides have been made in the implementation of initiatives that resulted in the stabilization of the organization, this fiscal's focus on rebuilding and realigning operating business models with the organizational strategies is at the core of the turnaround. The SAPC provinces are key and central to the turnaround strategy of the organization, and as I said, this I consider to be the foundation of a new relationship and a new role for the provinces in the SAPC. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members of the committee. Once again, Chairperson, thank you very much indeed for inviting us to the committee to present the work of the SABC, with a special reference to its work in the provinces and how we seek to reach people on the ground. It is very important that the SABC continues to deliver its mandate, which principally is about informing, educating, and entertaining South Africans. The NCOP is an important house of our democratic institution, and you are quite right, Madam Chair, that its activities and business must be reflected, and the SABC carries that responsibility as the national public broadcaster to fulfill that function. We cannot leave it to any other media house, because we have a constitutional obligation to do so. And I am really inspired by our plans to launch a 24-hour news service, because I think that will afford us unlimited opportunity and access to the activities and business of the NCOP to reflect to South Africa the good work of the NCOP. We have, albeit in very, very limited ways, in the past tried to cover the activities, but I know that was not good enough. We need to improve on that. So I take your point, Madam Chair, and I think with the 24-hour channel, we will be able to reflect on the activities of the NCOP. Chairperson, our presentation is structured in such a way that the honourable members should have a full view of our business in the provinces, and I will just, by way of introduction, take honourable members through our strategy, because the strategy informs our business, it informs our operations. Strategy also helps us to achieve our vision. And after I've dealt with strategy, I will then hand over the baton to the group executive, stakeholder management and provinces, Mr. Hlaudi Motsweneng, to introduce the section on reports from the respective provinces of the SABC. Briefly, Chairperson, the turnaround strategy of the SABC, which was adopted by board in 2010 and subsequently presented to the Parliament Portfolio Committee on Communication, is a strategy that sought to turn things around at the SABC. It is common cause, Chairperson, that the SABC had been plunged into a serious crisis during the period of 2008-2009, and largely a crisis of financial nature, governance, and other things that really should make the organization a viable operation. In 2010, the Board of Directors of the SABC had set about to develop a strategy that was intended to turn around things at the SABC. The turnaround strategy was then premised on three phases, and we are now in the process of rolling out those phases of the turnaround strategy. The first phase is recovery, because we had to recover from the situation that we had been plunged in. Then the second phase is stability, which then was a plan, a very well conceived plan, that as you recover, then you must stabilize the organization. Then the third phase is intended that after stability, we should be able then to sustain the growth of the organization. The short-term priority of our strategy was to improve the cash flow in the organization, and also to free the SABC of independent bailouts and government guarantees. Bailouts and government guarantees was the situation that came about as a result of the financial crisis in the organization, and it is public knowledge that the SABC then had to seek financial assistance in the form of a loan. But now we want to create an SABC that will be free of these interventions. Our long-term priority is to shape the SABC for success in the future digital media environment, so that we can deliver distinctive and compelling programming through sound business practices. So now, after November, December 2010, when the strategy was developed and as we set about to implement the strategy, we then looked at the processes that must be followed or taken into account. One was to look at the internal situation in the SABC and what the turnaround strategy sought to achieve. So the strategy had taken into account the following: the terms of the government guarantee, because when we obtained a loan, certain conditions were attached to that loan, and government through the Ministry of Finance had prescribed guarantees that had to be adhered to. So there are government guarantee conditions that we must follow quite strictly to make sure that we are complying with the requirements of this intervention. But another thing that had to be taken into account is the shareholder compact. That is the agreement between the SABC and its shareholder, but also to make sure that the SABC adheres to the corporate plan of the organization. The corporate plan of the organization, Madam Chair, is premised on 7 pillars, and these pillars are: 1, programming quality; 2, platform management; 3, news, as it is the core business of the SABC; 4, governance, to ensure that whatever we do adheres to the best practices and good governance; 5, people, because we think people are central to our operation; 5, finances, no, 6, finances, yes; 7, stakeholder management and provinces. So provinces, Chairperson, I want to make that point again. Provinces are very, very important in the whole strategic thinking of the SABC, and this forms part of the corporate pillars of the organization. But in developing that strategy, we also had to take into account the regulatory and legal environment we operate in. And among a range of laws and regulations that we have to adhere to, one that really stands out is the constitution of the country, which is fundamental to everything. But then the Broadcasting Act, in terms of which the SABC exists, but the Treasury regulations, the Public Finance Management, and the Company Act, really to ensure that good corporate governance becomes a second culture in the organization. The third area that we took into account is the environment that the SABC will now be operating in, really preparing the SABC to be an organization that is compliant to the digital environment that is beginning to unfold, and thereby preparing the SABC as a digital organization. I have dealt, Chairperson, with the three phases: recovery, stability, and sustainability. Recovery was to clean up the business, to deal with the issues that had confronted the organization, but also to get the SABC out of the morass it had plunged itself into. And as we do that, we stabilize the organization. And when we stabilize the organization as part of the turnaround strategy, to develop frameworks and an operating model that will ensure efficiencies and ensure that we deliver on our mandate. But as we do that, to also ensure that good governance is part of the everyday operations of the SABC, risk management is embedded in our operations at all levels, and also to ensure that there is tight financial management and tight management of the resources of the SABC. And this is what stability is about. And we are now in this phase where we are stabilizing the organization. We have recovered from what we went through. Our financial statement, Chairperson, at least for this quarter, shows that our revenue is on the rise, and our financial statement also shows that we are managing now to contain our costs. When we put together budget for 2011-2012, because of the historical trends and the galloping expenses, we had budgeted a loss on our expense side, but in fact, because of our fiscal discipline, we've actually managed to come out of that loss, and in fact, we are showing an improvement in our management of expenses, and we have a positive variance on our cost management. Our operating profit and loss also looks good and is on the positive, and this is part of the stabilization phase we are now in. That is not the end of the story. We then need to take the organization onto sustainability phase. Chairperson, I must point out quite early in the day that we are not out of the woods yet, but there are positive indications that the organization is beginning to move in the right direction. Having dealt with those three phases of our turnaround strategy, I will not then go deep into the themes of our turnaround, because a lot of these are captured also in our corporate plan and form part of the three phases that I have explained. But the themes of our turnaround strategy center on leadership and governance, financial management and controls, reorganization and people alignment, but also as we do that, developing human capital, making training opportunities available to our staff so that we develop our people, because people are central to the success of any organization. And five, improving our return on program operations. And six, which is very important and critical to the success of our turnaround strategy, is the enhancing the credibility of the SABC and also building the brand of the organization. In conclusion, Chairperson, before I hand over to the provinces, we have therefore set ourselves strategic goals that for us to succeed, we need to make sure that we continue on this trajectory and there are no deviations from recovery to stability, but we do not end there. Proceed onto the sustainability of the organization. We have adopted our corporate pillars, and now the organization is operating in accordance with those. We have adopted a new operating model, which really sets out the functions and the value chain of the organization. But also the board has approved a new structure which is intended to be lean at the top while at the same time ensuring that we drive efficiencies. So our new structure really trim a lot of other, you know, positions at the top, but while at the same time we make sure that far more greater responsibility and authority is devolved to lower levels of the organization, but also that responsibility is also extended to the provinces. Our stakeholder management is an important area of our business, and this is also demonstrated by the work we have done in the first quarter of the year. The first quarter of the year, Chairperson, was about the local government elections. And for the first time, the SABC, in fact, developed a program of active stakeholder engagement. And during the course of the first quarter of this year, at the time in my capacity as head of news, but with the support of the board of directors, we engaged all political parties in discussion, engaging them on what their expectations are and what the issues are and how, in fact, the local government elections should be covered. So stakeholder management is quite important. And we have continued on that trajectory, Chairperson, to engage even other sectors of society. And lastly, I think in this period under review, we have also made a number of successes since 2010, and I can cite a few. The FIFA Soccer World Cup is one success that is actually hailed by the local and international observers. Improving on our delivery on language and local content mandate, I think we went out of our way to make sure that the SABC is reflective of the South African situation. We actually led the whole campaign around the celebration of 150 years of the arrival of Indians in South Africa. We also had a successful coverage of the local government elections. And on another front, we continue to win awards in the area of broadcasting, both locally and internationally. And as I conclude, Chairperson, it is our firm belief that the SABC carries an important national mandate to inform and educate South Africans. But over and above that, the SABC reaches more than 70% of the South African population every day. The SABC touches lives of more than 24 million people every day through our 18 radio platforms and 3 television channels. But a lot of that work is possible because of the support and contribution that we continue to receive from our provincial broadcasts. And in fact, provinces are the strength of our radio services. So, Chairperson, I will now hand over to the Group Executive, Stakeholder Management and Provinces, Mr. Hlaudi Motsoeneng, to lead us now on the presentation of various provinces. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chairperson, I've got flu. After what happened, you know, women are always ready. I'm going to hand over to our provincial manager, Mabatho, to take us through universal access, and others, they will come and give their own input in their provinces. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, GE.
the Golden Nations and Provinces, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on the Chairperson of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, Chairperson of SABC Board, the Acting GCO of SABC, Mr. Malefe, the Member of the Board, Mr. Mtinde, the Group Executive Present, Ntate Ndaba and Ntate Saudi, honorable members of the Select Committee, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to present on behalf of the provinces. And firstly, want to start with regards to the provincial landscape, just to share with the members where SABC is in all provinces. We've got offices in all provinces, starting with Limpopo. Our office is in Polokwane. Then we go to Gauteng, the office is in Hatfield, and we go to Mpumalanga, the SABC office is in Nelspruit. When you go to Northwest, the office is in Mahikeng, and we go, I'll come back to HU. We go to Northern Cape, the office is in Kimberley, while Free State, the office is Bloemfontein. Then we move down to KZN, the SABC office is in Durban, and in the Eastern Cape, we've got three offices, one in Mthatha, in Bishop, and Port Elizabeth, and where we are in the Western Cape, we've got the office in Cape Town. Now, the office in Captain Park in Johannesburg, we regard that as our headquarters. Then the acting GCO has already spoken about the SABC corporate pillars, but I think it's important that we acknowledge that as provinces, our programs are anchored around those corporate pillars, because what we are, in terms of operations, we're informed by the corporate pillars. Now, to operationalize the corporate goals, the SABC has identified 7 key drives of value which form its strategic intent. Now, the SABC intends to, number one, to put broadcasting and broadcasters back in the forefront of what the organization is about, and editorial integrity back into the platforms and programs of the SABC, in particular, news. We also intend of building a brand that reflects excellence and South African identity in every way. We further intend to build a digital SABC and integrating the digital future into all plans and actions. Furthermore, we intend to have an operating model that is simple and easily understood, supported by an organizational design that assigns accountability directly to those charged with execution of the enterprise, the plans, and good governance. We also intend building an organization that is economical, efficient, and effective, while focusing on the performance of the enterprise at every level and holding individuals accountable for delivery. Lastly, we intend on managing and reporting on strategy development and implementation, on operational performance and risk management. The acting group CEO has already looked into the pillars, and we acknowledge that as provinces, those pillars also are anchoring our programs at the provincial level. So I'm not going to go into detail with them. Then we proceed then to one of the requests of the Select Committee with regards to universal access. That we... Okay, here they are. You need to make me...
Sweat.
No, just brief. With regards to universal access, we acknowledge that the universal access is the constitutional right of all South Africans. And we say presently, 85% of South Africans have access, while 15% have no access to signal distribution. And this is a concern for us as SABC. And we have seen this opportunity to come to the Senate Committee as the chance for us to start lobbying the members of the committee that if you assist us in order that all the areas in the provinces that don't have signal, that you'll also be able to lead us to those directions, but also lobby other legislatures to ensure that every South African have access to signal distribution. Now, what we do as provincial general managers and provincial offices, when people don't have access, what they do, they write to our either radio stations or the general GMs in the provinces, and in partnership with CENTEC, we therefore go out and identify those communities without access. Now, so far, the SABC has identified over 250 sites. And after identifying them, we had to ensure that we go physically in those sites to see if the sites exist, but also to see how we can speedily ensure that there is signal in those areas so that we have a rollout of this low transmitter rollout. Now, our annual target is that we want to ensure that we've got 100 sites per annum from March 2012 to March 2014, which implies that we will have 300 sites that have low power transmitters, and the impact of that, it will mean that we will have 1.5 million South Africans who presently do not have access, that will have access due to this rollout. Now, since the beginning of the year, every month we have been going from province to province where we're sitting on, and the latest for us is that this Friday, the 9th of September, we will be switching in Northwest at Sally's Wharf. And I think the honorable members, if you can join us, we'll be happy to show that definitely we are there, ensuring that there's access to our communities. We would like to, you know, technology can sometimes fail you. Let's see.
Okay. That's why I was saying you don't know the NCOP. You're only telling us now that you are switching on in Northwest on Friday. But we will talk about that later.
Yes, we are very excited that you have invited us, and we know that you don't have any difficulty in just going to Northwest and supporting a public broadcaster, so that you see what we are really doing in our communities. Now, we wanted to show the honorable members the national picture in terms of universal access. Now, because we're not getting that, we will definitely give you a hard copy of all the sites that we've identified and when are we going to switch on in those areas. Can see that we will print, and let's just go to the next one. Yeah. The SABC is committed. Madam Chair, can I proceed? Okay. The SABC is committed in implementing equity and transformation as enshrined in the Constitution. And therefore, we have then made a focus to look in with for people living with disabilities. Now, on the whole, the SABC provinces has met the targets of 2% of people living with disabilities. And on our platforms, we also offer dedicated programs by people living with disabilities. Examples: SAFM, Radio 2000, Lugwala Gwala FM, Palapala FM, and Tobela have dedicated programs that focuses on people living with disabilities. And with our buildings, also accessibility is they are accessibility friendly. However, there's still more to be done, and we continuously upgrading to ensure that ultimately we'll have 100% access for people living with disabilities. We see DCT as an opportunity because it will offer us the ability to offer improved subtitling capability, and also DCT will potentially provide audio description capability and close signing. Now, Chair, what I was presenting was the overall picture of provinces. Now, I am going to give to each provincial general manager to present their provincial specific programs. And I'll start with the Eastern Cape. And that is Zola Yeye. Can you please take us through?
Thank you, Mayor Mabata. Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable members of the Select Committee on Labor and Enterprises, the Chairperson of the Board, the members of Group Executive of the SABC, and my colleagues. It's my singular honor and gratitude to have this opportunity to give you insight into my province. It's steeped in rich history and heritage of warriors who fought tirelessly and relentlessly against the colonial past and apartheid regime. It has since graduated into a province that's work in progress. My presentation would be peppered with the copy taste of some of the issues and matters that are happening around it that affects the people. At the epicenter, though, is radio and television broadcast. It's what we do most, to be the representative and the voice of the voiceless, to inform, educate, and entertain our people. The provincial sitting of our province is in Visho, Malibongwe, Kamala Makoskat, led by Premier Nokolo Kivit. It's the second largest province in our country and predominantly rural. And it's in a unique kind of situation where it had to converge or merge three homelands. I would call South Africa even, it's a homeland also in those days, although it had these two homelands, Ciskei and Transkei, and the Republic of South Africa. So it stands, it's got about 6.8 million people resident predominantly in rural areas. The official sitting of the SABC is in Port Elizabeth, that's the headquarters. And we have these strategic offices in Mthatha, where we broadcast there several programs, and also we broadcast current affairs and news. And we're going to put in also personnel for TV license. And we have Bisho, whom we have repositioned. It was named CKI, but now it's called True FM, to reposition the station so that it can be politically correct. There is a youth station that is a niche market for the youth, and anybody who's more than 35, Ambakaya. So it's just a premise, a fertile ground for the young people to express themselves and be part of our democracy. Msobuwenene is the second largest PBS station, which is public broadcast station, service station in our country after Ukhozi, and it's got more than 4 million listenership. Proudly so, it's growing on a daily basis. Bisho, as I've said, we have offices in the legislature because we have to provide a service to our key stakeholders. One of those are politicians. Several political parties, and we've got offices to make sure that we are able to be the gatekeeper and also to give them the platform they require Simultaneously, we provide a service that goes from Bishop right to Butterworth, Queenstown, and other areas. And the office of, from Tata takes up to the borders of the Eastern Cape, that's bordering Umzimkhulu, Matatia, and come back. Coverage, current affairs, and news. The racial composition of our province is quite interesting. We got Africans, almost 6 million, the whites, around 273,000, colors, 523, Indians, 25. And the language, dominant language, is Xhosa. And we've got Sotho speaking, because we've got Matatiele in that area, and also we've got Afrikaans, and Khois, Sarah Batman comes from our shores. And then also we have the English, that colonized us in 1820. Economically, the province is doing very well. We've got two metropoles. Recently, a new one was pronounced, the Buffalo City Metropolitan, and after 1994, the only one was the breadbasket of the Eastern Cape, which is Nelson Mandela Metropolitan. Economically also, we've got two IDZs, that's East London IDZ and Kuka IDZ. That's got the Port of Mocha for deep sea water, where big ships could dock and provide jobs and opportunities for the young ones and our people who are unemployed. We were regarded once as the Detroit of South Africa, the automotive industry, where we have big firms, automotive firms, Daimler Chrysler, VW, all those firms that are there, and they provide the quality service, and also for tire manufacturers that we have. Secondly, we manufacture, and we've got agricultural forestry. Sorry.
I thought that you are going to request them to focus on the thing affecting the SABC instead of to be broader, because we understand the geography of the provinces.
Okay. As the direction from the committee, leave all other things and then focus on SABC in your province.
Thank you, sir. To ensure that SABC promotes democracy and non-racialism, we've got radio and television that provide compelling and distinctive programming, news and current affairs, and information and education and entertainment programs. SABC also has got staff that drives the process, staff complement in the Eastern Cape. The total is 297. Permanent is 177. We've got 17 interns. We had 19, two were recently permanently employed. We've got 103 independent contractors. Among those people who have people with disabilities that we managed to give opportunities to. With that, Chairperson, that's the long and short of it. I was given 10 minutes, so I managed just to condense it into.
Oh, that's why you add submit so that you can finish your 10 minutes.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much, Zola. We now go to the Free State and Northern Cape.
Maybe, Mama, if you can explain why Northern Cape and Free State have got one.
I can see someone is taking the mic, so he wants to explain.
Thank you very much. Just to explain, we are still working on the Northern Cape to be more independent. We are working with our stakeholders in that province.
because they really want that province to be independent. But we will do that next year, financial year. So, but now it still falls under a free state. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and members, members of the board and senior management, perhaps it's just as a way of kick-starting my short presentation, is just to mention the fact that as a province, we understand that we are a strategic delivery center of the SABC, and in the part of the world where we operate, we have to provide viable operational platform that is aligned to the overall SABC strategy, while we seek also to position the province to be able to fulfill the mandate in that part of the world. And as Ndatisa Udi has said, in terms of the structure, ours is a unique region in the sense that we are we have two provinces in one, with the administrative seat being in Mangaung. In Kimberley, we've got two sites, which is the Kimberley office itself, as well as the XK FM. And obviously, the Mangaung office exercise an oversight and to ensure that we continue to operate in that part of the world. If one was to look at the geographic size of the province, Northern Cape takes about a third of the land mass in South Africa. Now, I'm mentioning this point because it poses unique challenges when it comes to issues of universal access. And the fact that it's a sparsely populated area where, if one looks at the economies of scale, we can no longer talk about taking the issue of access to where there is high concentration of people. There are small towns, some of them, if I could mention one example, deep in the Northern Cape, Nunipet, which comprises of about 100 families. There is absolutely nothing there. There is no power, there is no transmission, they've got no radio, they've got no television, and in this day and age, where we have all agreed that this matter is an important issue, that is a constitutional right of those people, I think it means it cannot be business as usual. We have to start looking at other means also of unblocking some of the issues that hinders us from providing access to those areas. In terms of population size, I won't spend much time on that. As I said, the Northern Cape is sparsely populated at 1.1 million according to the last census, and the Free State 2.9 million. Now, if one looks at the economic situation, and I'll also go quickly through this, my take on this is that when one analyzes the economic situation, it reflects opportunities for the SABC to grow the business in the sector, in the sense that these are some of them are untapped markets where we can sustain our operation by doing business with those sectors, so that we can be able to generate much-needed revenue, so that we can also be able to operate optimally. So according to the two provinces' growth and development strategies, the few that have been identified as the economic drivers are agriculture, and I must say both the Free State and Northern Cape are predominantly agricultural, fishing and mariculture in the Northern Cape, mining and mineral processing, manufacturing and tourism for both Free State and Northern Cape, petrochemical downstreaming, which is the Sasol and Sasol plant and all those, et cetera, et cetera. These are areas that present themselves as potential for us to grow the business. The SABC services that are available, we've got radio and TV, with Lesedi as the third largest PBS station with about 3 million listeners. It's semi-national in the sense that it broadcasts in all areas except the Western Cape. And we've lately added to the Northern Cape as part of the area that we broadcast to. With XKFM, at the start it was conceptualized to become a community radio station that broadcasts to approximately 7,000 people who live in Bloemfontein. But XKFM has evolved over a period of time. It has become more than a station. It has become a tool that mobilizes the community there and addresses issues around substance abuse, around issues of teenage pregnancies, the fight against crime, and it actually is also a vehicle that seeks to mobilize that fan community and ensure that they become incorporated in the mainstream community in South Africa. And I believe that this station should continue to be supported, as we are currently doing in the province, to grow. Last week they celebrated 11th year of existence, and we all realize that this station's focus has now changed, and it has to continue to be supported. When it comes to staff complement in the region, we have a staff complement of permanent employees numbering 133. We are also having interns in our establishment, and some of them are almost completing their training, and where possible we look at retaining them because we are growing our own timber if we do so. Independent contractors, we've got about 21, and the total number of staff complement is 163. Let me pause here, given the 10 minutes that we were required to finish.
Thank you very much, Vincent. Can I now give Shonis to give Western Cape input?
Chair, through you, let me just ask my provincial managers. I know that it is the first time they come here. Let us concentrate on the SABC business, so that at least we talk about broadcasting. They want to hear us about issues that affect us. Let leave other issues outside us. Let us focus on those issues, please.
Thank you for the opportunity, Honourable Chairperson and members. For me to tell you about the SABC in the Western Cape. The SABC in the Western Cape comprises of news, sales and marketing, technology, and in our technology we have our radio broadcast facilities and television outside broadcast, Good Hope FM, which is our resident station, commercial station based in Sea Point, SAFM, RSG, Mhlobo Monene, support services, finance, HR, communications, and parliamentary liaison. Our offices are situated. Our main offices in the Western Cape are situated in Sea Point. We also have offices in Montague Gardens, where our television outside broadcast is based. We've got a news office in George, and we've got a news office at Parliament. Our potential listenership or viewership is 3.3 million people, and this is based on the AMPS figures that were received, and this is for the population of 15 years and older. In terms of Cape Town, that we contribute 20% of the SABC revenue, and that equates to about 750 million per annum. The good news is that advertisers have restored faith in the SABC. We are the biggest news contributor in the Western Cape outside of Johannesburg across radio as well as television. Good Hope FM, which is the oldest radio station, they are 46 years old, has a current listenership of 632,000. And this is 13% more than they were last year. And the P7D was based on the past 7 days. RSG, SAFM, Radio 2000, and Mhlobo Wenene, which is our PBS station, has a strong presence in the province. And a number of programs are presented in our studios. Our technology departments provide support to all the radio and television platforms, which is SABC News and Sports, and then we are in the process of digitizing our studios. The television outside broadcast has 200 to 300 productions per year, and they also broadcast from unique venues such as Table Mountain and Robben Island. The uniqueness of the province has resulted in the province being host to many national and international events. Okay. So basically, the Western Cape reaches from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we do provide radio and television services. There are certain areas that do not have where it is not accessible, where there isn't universal access. However, that is being looked at, and in the meantime, we have two low-power transmitters which are ready for switch on, and that is in Bippertal on the west, well, in Cedarburg, as well as Nature's Valley on the east coast. Besides our employees, our permanent staff complement is 170. We have 13 interns which we hope to absorb into our system, as well as 107 independent contractors, and that totals 290 people for the Western Cape. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Finance. Can you now go to Suli Mpumalanga?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members present. Our offices in Mpumalanga are based in Mbombela, formerly Nell Strait. We are the home of Lekola Kola FM, which is the station that broadcasts mainly in Siswati. The main issues that we have as the broadcaster in Mpumalanga is that there is no institute of higher learning in terms of the university. We only have your further education institutions and your Tshwane University of Technology. It is thus very difficult for us as a public broadcaster to implement programs that would be attractive to individuals or young people that are interested in journalism and media studies, as the current institutions that are based in the province do not offer that. We have both radio and television services, and we have a total staff complement of 171, of which 80 of them are permanent. We had 4 interns at the beginning of the year, wherein their project was supposed to end in November. However, of the 4 interns, 3 of them have been absorbed into the province and were permanently employed in our news department as journalists and TV reporters, and we have 87 independent contractors. Thank you.
Thank you. Nofist.
thank you, Ma'am Osmawatu. Thanks. Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks, members of the committee, members of the board, members of the executive, to my fellow PGMs.
All
protocol of them. I'll be speaking about Northwest, SABC Northwest, currently situated in Mahikeng. Before it used to be known as Mafikeng, but it's Mahikeng, which is the provincial capital of the province. I'm going to be trying to be as brief as possible. There are 3 key economic sectors in the province which are very important for us for revenue generations, which is mining, agriculture, and tourism. currently, Northwest Province has got about 3.2 million people. And now when you talk about universal access, this is very vital people to access. We have just mentioned earlier on that we'll be launching a low-power transmitter in Sannieshof. Earlier this year, another one was launched in Pomfret. So these are some of the examples that we can give you when you talk about issues of low-power, universal access. Services available in SABC Northwest. We've got Motsweding FM. This is the home for Motsweding FM, which currently has 3.3 million listeners. We've got technology, news, other supporting services. We currently have 178 staff complement, which about 92, which is permanent, 14 interns, and about 62 independent contractors. I think that's all I can say about the province, just to be in short. Thanks.
Thank you, Tito. Tilden, from
to
Chairperson, good day, and to all the members that are here. It's a pleasure to present this province on KZN, where we've got a population of 10.5 million people in the country, and of those, we boast 6.4 listeners on Ukhozi, a leading station in terms of audiences, also revenue for the corporation. Not only do we have Ukhozi in the region, we also have Lotus FM, a station that caters for the Asian community. We have two news bureau offices other than just the Durban office. In Richards Bay, we do have a news bureau office for us to be able to readily collect news, gather news from that region. The province is vast, and it's important that we have access in that area. But also, our legislature sits in Pietermaritzburg, so it's been useful for us to make sure that we have an office there to gather news readily from there. We do have an extensive partnership with community radio stations in the region, where we do share program content, particularly education programs. And we have one of the stations that we have let, a community radio station to whom we are letting our premises in one of the offices that we used to occupy before. It's pleasing for us at this moment when the country is gathering and garnering support and preparation for COP17 that in that region we are involved with civil society in ensuring that we get a community TV license that we are going to be driving there. Lotus is a special station that not only broadcasts the English, but also services the Urdu, Gujarati, Telugu, Tamil, and Hindi languages that we are able to assist those in that community with. We also offer diverse music reflecting the origins of the Asian community. We also have diverse religious content at the station reflecting the various faiths, Islam, Christianity, and Hindu. We do have challenges, though, with regard to balancing the music component at that station. You might have seen some of the negative publicity that we have had before because of certain expectations from the community. We are battling that area, but we are on course in terms of what we are seeking to drive there, a common national consciousness, not just for me to say my father came from that particular village so many ages ago. In terms of staff breakdown, I've already said we have services in the region, radio and television, like my other colleagues. Staff complement, permanent people are about 158. In 10, we are very fortunate because of the numerous institutions, tertiary institutions of higher learning, and we have capitalized to make sure that we get some of the interns because they need to do their internship with us, especially in the technology area. So we have got about 15 that we are looking at. Some would be absorbed by us and others would be taken up by other institutions. Independent contractors, we have about 55. In total, we have about 228 people in the region. I thank you.
Thank you, Zamambo.
Thank you, Sonora Chairperson and honorable members. It was always going to be very difficult to bring together four different governments that was there in Limpopo. But through SABC radio stations, we have managed to come up with a term called COMBO. COMBO meaning bring all radio stations that are based in the province together for a common cause. We have three radio stations, namely Tobela FM, that caters for the Northern Sotho speaking. Mungalo Nene caters for Xitsonga speaking people, and the Tshivenda speakers are listening and served by Parapara FM. In terms of our programming and cultural activities, we have managed to bring all the people of the province together, and as such, we have also gone to an extent of signing up memorandum of understanding with 7 of the 10 government departments and 3 parastatals in the province. These to respond to the challenge of unemployment, the challenge of youth inadequacy, and also teenage pregnancies. Limpopo, as it is known, is the province of peace, and that is the province that has started with the peace job feature that assists everybody and everyone to get a job, even if it means on a temporary basis. We have 280 staff members, and 200 of which are permanent, 15 are ITENs, and 65 independent contractors. Services are always available through radio and television. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Limpopo. Then the last province will be Gauteng. And I think for Gauteng, we'll look at the services that are in the Hatfield offices, which are TV and the radio station that is Ikokwezi. That is in the Valley radio station. And we have also airtime sales, TV license, and technology. The TV station, our TV platform is one of the most used TV platform because it's just a stone's throw from Union buildings. Therefore, instead of getting to the Gauteng to Joburg, they use our Hatfield offices. As a sub-component in Gauteng, we have 95 permanent, 7 interns, and 47 independent contractors. The total sub-complement is 147. Now, Chairperson, that was the input from all the provincial of the provinces. However, we still have one presentation that deals with digital migration. That was also the request from the select committee that we needed to present. So I'm going to go through that, then we'll go through questions and answers. Okay. Now, with digital migration, the SABC has moved to DTT is driven by the following, that it's a government mandate process for all analog to migrate to DTT, and therefore resulting that in December 2013 would have moved to full digital. The SABC needs to remain competitive for both audience and revenue in a multinational, multi-platform digital environment. The SABC content strategy to leverage the content and rights acquired more effectively by being able to distribute this content across the multiple channels. Our strategy is to increase its focus on public service delivery, which requires the rollout of more services and the use of new technologies to enable better language delivery. For example, the SABC's intention to position itself as a leader in digital broadcasting in Africa and as an innovative public broadcaster. We see the commercial launch of the DTT platform as a key project for SABC. Not only will it provide us and the consumers with greater and more enhanced service from the SABC, it will also require the SABC to think and behave as a digital broadcaster in a multi-platform and multi-channel environment. Sorry. Once we are fully on DTT, the SABC will make all SABC radio stations available on DTT platform. Therefore, we'll really be national. All our stations will be on DTT, as well as ancillary and interactive services. Ancillary services include the ability to do a multiple subtitles and multiple audio, as well as audio descriptions. Interactive applications, which will include information services, children's and educational games, as well as weather services. The inclusion of these services will not only drive platform value, but can be used to deliver public services in areas such as language delivery, education and news, and over a period develop revenue and job opportunities through new inventory and innovative commercial offerings such as interactive advertising. In order to make the migration of DTT, the SABC will be investing in an upgrade of its broadcast facilities, including the upgrade of the analog funnel control center and the development of a new multi-channel payout facility. Lastly, the move to digital enables the SABC to improve TV license collection or offset collection costs by using control technology to enhance collection. Should TV licenses not be the source of funding for the SABC in the future, DTT will offer the impetus for public funding as it will enable an increased delivery of the SABC public service mandate. Chairperson, before I give to the group GE, we were discussing as provincial general managers, because one set of SABC operations is in the provinces, and also that's where the money in terms of revenue is. And one of our biggest challenges that we thought we would get assistance from the select committee was, besides being owed money by other partners, we also have challenge in collecting from our key stakeholder, which is Hurmend. And we thought we'll ask and plead that the Select Committee assist us to get every cent from the table of government, because for us every cash counts. Therefore, we do have the slide that shows who and where and how much, and we will share with the chairperson to assist us from the government side, so that we can get every cent that counts in us getting that much needed cash. I will now give to the GE, Stakeholder Relations and Provinces, to give us the concluding remarks. Mr. Saudi?
Chair, thank you very much, Chair. I'm not concluding, Chair. But maybe we just need to try to say, from provinces, we need to do more when it comes to coverage, when it comes to cover issues affecting people in their provinces. I think we are trying our best, but you know, whether it's radio or television, people want to be part of television or radio. And we are not doing well there. But I think it's all stakeholders, because as you were saying, especially about NCOP, because I want to raise these issues. If you have programs that you know you'll be, whether in the Eastern Cape or Free State, we need to have those programs, so that our people can go with you and understand the job that you are doing from NCOP. Because I know this house is very important when it comes to those provinces there, because people talk about you, but they don't know exactly what you are doing. And they confuse between, you know, National Parliament and NCOP. As you were saying, we are ready to educate people, and this will open doors for us as provinces now to start all radio stations from provinces to engage all their members, to interview them. But also, even when you have project, because I come, my background is from you, and my argument is, you know, in South Africa, most of the time, we are saying you can't sell good news. We should sell good news, because most of the issues, we sell bad news. And for us, we should build a country by talking about even the young who are coming. We should educate them. Be positive in life. The more you concentrate on crime and other issues, and I'm not saying we should neglect these issues, but I'm saying we should focus where there is a future, even for young people who are coming. And I want to appeal to this House to say, as SABC, especially from provinces under Dr. Ngubane, and he's prepared to say, do more when it comes to provinces, you are not doing the way we want you to do. And my background, I come from provinces. You know, people feel very good when SABC is part of people, not their SABC, but part by covering them, whether those are at rural areas and so on, they are more excited. But I think when it comes to journalists and the programming, we need to do more there. To say let's work together to improve on these matters. And I want to highlight the provinces. We are calling them regions in the past. Now we are calling them provinces because my argument was, you know, when you talk about regions, people, they don't understand. They think it's only Bloemfontein. When we are supposed to cover all provinces where issues are happening, SABC should be there. So those are the challenges, but we are trying to address those challenges. When it comes to people with disabilities, it is very important for us as a public broadcaster. I think they did highlight here provinces. And I was saying, it's not just employing these people. It's also giving these people senior position within SABC. Because it doesn't mean if you are people with disability, they can't hold higher positions. The same with women, we are saying, Abafazi Pambili. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very, very much for the information. Members, who've been listening, we now know what is happening in provinces. Honorable Mabija, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Dupierre, Honorable Mlenzan, and myself.
Chair, you're in that.
Okay.
How much time do we have?
No, we are supposed to finish at 4, but can we go to, to 4:30 members? I'm. Yeah, because it's just, are you leaving? What time? Okay, but like I said to Ikaza earlier, when you come to Cape Town, when we invite you as select committee, you must be prepared to say we will come the next day. Like, for example, you were with the portfolio committee yesterday, and, today you are with us. Honorable Mabija, I don't want to waste any time.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been listening to the provincial reports and understanding that during October 2010, discussions and developments, policy developments, culminated in cabinet adoption of the new growth path, and that set out a vision: 5 million new jobs by 2020. But I haven't heard anything from all the provinces saying SABC. In KZN or in Limpopo or in any other province, since 2010 October, we have created 200 jobs, 1,000, etc. That is worrisome, and would like to get the report, even if it's not today, because we are doing that with all the public entities and governments, such as private, whatever, so that we are able to know that, say I'm from the Limpopo, I know that how much jobs have been created by SABC.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through you, if you can allow me to comment something, and then I'll start with questions. Number one, I know why I'm doing that. I'd like to pay tribute to SABC with the loss of Ukoko, who played Ustumo. Mm. To us, it is very sensitive, and also to the family of Ukoko. Ukoko was among the contributors
who made it possible that the SABC attracted a lot of viewers. And then wishing that similar thing, if it can happen to the provinces. We had our Gogo Magong, and nothing happened in support of Gogo Magong when he passed away, of which it was an embarrassment in Mpumalanga about his activity in the role playing in the cultural activities towards the radio station. And then Nzulu Mama from Mpumalanga, he commented about the issue of the institution which doesn't allow SABC to have programs to attract people. At the same time, contradiction. We do have people in the community who contribute a lot in SABC, but maybe it will change now. I'll put a practical example. We had Omunye Ubabo Kupukupu Tarete, who passed on, who was chased away like anything by then the Ubabu Chikane Chikane from SABC, who didn't want to listen to the community when the community makes some recommendation that no, he did wrong, but punish him like this up until I think Wapatwai had attacked you. He passed on. And those are the embarrassment from the side of the SABC, whereby some of the people who are contributing so much to SABC, SAB is just rejecting them. Then continue with the question. Chairperson, through you. Chairperson, I'll be very much happy. I'll start by raising a worry that since 1993, there has been more than 6 different chairs at SABC, and there have been more than 5 different CEOs. I understand, I agree, Baba Uchi, will a turnaround start. If you can assure us that this thing will happen again. Why I'm raising that matter? A few days ago, on the 30 June, 2011, Peter Harris has resigned again. We thought that in terms of the turnaround structures, this thing would be kept. And my little worry, I call it a little worry, I'm asking myself the question, Comrade Chairperson, that why most of some of these people who are resigning, they are resigning prior to the end of their contracts. Is it because of money? Is this because of money involved? Because you know why is it money involved? There are a lot of commercial activities which are taking place within the SABC. And again, if I can be assisted, I'll be specific, and with this one, Chairperson, I'll request them, if they respond, even if they can respond now, they must send something black and white to you. I'll put an example with Soccer Zone. Hey, it's marvelous, we see soccer results, each and every, I think it's Tuesday, whatever. Who paid it? Is there is an advert in SABC, in TV? Who pays for that thing? Because you're concerned, you are always you raise the issue of running short of fines and the like. Remember, I'm subject for correction. Now you have managed to collect an amount of 105 million rands out of the money which was owed to you. At this moment, you were able to collect it. But the fact is one, as long as you don't have measures and control and management to monitor what is happening in the SABC, some adverts, some commercial times, that's where we'll be having a problem. For an example, some people are raising the issue of Liqua, which was advertised and it had a lot of money, but when the government raised something, people were crying that that is having a negative impact. While we do have positive impacts as well, who pays those things? And then again, I'll go further, Mama. I wanted to you spoke about the risk management. I was happy. Who constitute your own risk management? Because that's where the problem are in terms of the finances which are there. Who pays? Who constitute those risk management? And then again, what is the relationship? I leave that question long as between Santec and ICASA.
controls the frequency? I know that question is supposed to go to them as well. Because there is this thing of money again, of licenses. What is the relationship between ICASA and Suntech? And then, you see, there is something which you wanted to come on with it, but I'm not yet satisfied. You see, a lot of people are asking simple question, why the SADC is so quick in terms of the things which are negative to the new dispensation, in terms of, like, I'll put an example, like demonstrations and the like. But with the things which are positive, they are not visible. I'll put a practical example. In my province, in my area where I'm staying, it happens. We call the SADC. They came once. After that, they never do the monitoring of that case. There was a lady, her name is Nontula Smelane, who disappeared. It came during the Truth Commission, during the TRC. With that incident, they started to vandalize the statue and the statues of both Hans Simande and Nontula Smelane. The poor paint, SABC came. It was accepted. And when they cut it off, they came. It was a small glimpse of it. But with the case itself, I'm following the statement where you said that if we do have something, we must provide so that we can make a follow-up. But with things which are there, you never wanted to know what is happening, what happened with the case. You just disappear. Because I believe sometimes SABC, they follow. If there are senior people who are going there, if the president doesn't go there, they don't go. Why is it happening like that? Because some of the things are there, but you don't make a follow-up and change and check what is happening. Mama, lastly, I'll come later on, but lastly, I wanted to find out that according to the National Treasurer, that's where I picked up that there is money which is 105. That how much money is still being owned? Lapogin. How much money is still being owned? Because there is money which is coming. And lastly,
owned.
Yes, lastly, what yukina lena ma? Yes. What system or mechanism do you have in order to bring back or on board to those managements who are resigning towards the last of the eve? Because some of them, it seems they are implicated. They are somewhere around implicated. But what do? You leave them to go, or you have a system to call them back to come and account? I'll put it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Let me also thank the SABC with the delegation that they have brought, especially when they have brought a representative from provinces. As our task, it is to deal with different provinces. So I think it's a good move. Chair, I've got two pages of questions, and I think maybe the SABC will have to make a return, because we are not going to exhaust all the questions that we have here. Maybe it was strategic to come after lunch when we have eaten, and also during a short span of time. But I'll try to condense my questions for the sake of progress. The first one is on the issue of... let me start here. Let me appreciate the turnaround strategy that has been presented to us, because I think it's going to deal with all the evils that were there in the SABC. This is a positive steps, and also what is contained in that turnaround strategy. But now, it is theory and practice. This is theory, and then how are you going to put this into practice? And then we'll be watching like hawks as the select committee of public enterprise to see that all this what we have written is being implemented. The first one that I would like to deal with is the issue of vacant posts. I think if you don't have leadership, what we want to implement here is not going to be feasible. So maybe we need to have time frames. When are we going to fill those positions of CEO, CFO, I don't know, even COO. So we need to have those time frames. I think you have come at the right time. Last time we had a strategic workshop of the NCOP, the provinces were here. There was a complaint that issues that pertain to NCOP are not being broadcast in the electronic media. We always see the National Assembly, and we are two equal houses. National Assembly is not our senior. We are equal partners. So the percentage that you give to National Assembly, it is a percentage which must be equal to the National Council of Provinces. So they said we need to summon SABC to this committee to respond on that. So that's why I say it's fortunate that you are here. You'll respond to that. Because I think you need to be, all of us need to be visible. We have important programs. We have taken Parliament to the people. Instead of broadcasting throughout the week, you'll only broadcast when the President is there, on Friday only. Next week, we are getting to provinces. It's a provincial week. All of us will be getting to our provinces. That will never receive any light. So those are some of the issues. I think we work more than the National Assembly because we are attached to provinces and also to local government where things are happening. But seemingly all your focus is only on the National Assembly. Maybe we need to get a response to that. Also, on the issue of job creation, I was just trying to make additions. As Honorable Mabisha said, there's no indication on the issue of job creation. And I was looking at independent contractors. When I add them, there are about 547. And I don't know why are we having independent contractors, because that could also be a job creation. If we can turn those independent contractors into permanent positions in the city, will be and because those independent contractors, for instance, you have one independent contractor, maybe it has about 10 employees. So if you can change that, it could help us with the issue of job creation. And also we'd like to see the SABC assisting the government in providing skills to our people. We always say we lack skills. There are no skills in this country. But we are having these state-owned enterprises whereby we can train our own people to have skills as artisans, through learnership, through interns, so that they should have those skills. In turn, they can take those skills to the private sector. But we are not assisting the government that our own people should have skills. Because these are the state-owned enterprises. If you remember the olden days, railways were giving those people skills, and those people were not educated. But here we are having our own state-owned enterprises which are not assisting the government to our people to have skills. So it will be important for state-owned enterprises to assist the government to have for our people to have skills. The other issue that I want to raise is the issue of competition with your peers. You have lost deal with Super Sport. And last time here, you could not secure a deal to show a match with the match of Niger with South Africa. I think maybe we need to raise up that kind of a competition. We should not just allow, because we need to be a reliable service provider. And these are some of the issues that will raise our listenership or our viewership. The there is this issue of payment of licenses where people are not paying for licenses. What strategy do you have to make sure that everybody pays his own or her own licenses? For instance, there is this, we pay for petrol, and out of that petrol, they take certain money for certain levies. If maybe we can devise a certain strategy like that one, so that people should not be aware that they are paying indirectly, they are paying for licenses, rather than directly paying for those licenses. So if we need, if you can come up with that kind of a strategy. I was also, we talked the last time with the chairperson on the issue of our legions and veterans. You know, we don't have history of our own people. We need to record that history, and the SABC should play that vital role. We still have people who are still living here, who have rich history in sports. It can be soccer, it can be boxing, it can be athletics, or even the politicians. If we can have a program, maybe weekly, that will show or teach our children about the past history. So it is your responsibility to take up that service. I think the last one, you are always saying, in this area, we are having so many listenership or viewership. How do you determine that? Can you just explain to us? We are saying we have 3 million, 4 million, 6 million. I'm not sure how you determine that. I try to condense my questions. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. First of all, let me also give my appreciation for the SABC to present for the first time based on provinces, so that we have been able to have an idea what is going on in our province. For the mere fact that you know, even don't know who is leading or heading your province, it's problematic for us. Even to exercise our oversight responsibility in Parliament. So we really need to appreciate the fact that you are here today. And the second comment which I want to make, Chairperson, I also want to appreciate the fact that you could see in the way how the new CEO is approaching this work, clearly indicate that he wants to drive this institution to another level. But nevertheless, of that, Chairperson, is the fact that there is this new debate in the public domain, which seems to be a threat for the SABC now, is of banning the liquor adverts, the alcohol adverts of the SABC. We understand that the SABC is just coming from a morass in finance, and if you could see in the alcohol advertisement and the commercial advertisement is generating a bulk of their revenue. If that might happen, what is there anything else in place to recover that money if it might be legislated? Chairperson, another thing which is also important, which we as public representation don't want to deal with, is the issue of the tariffs of the license. Because for the last years, this is facts. For the last year, there was no increment in the tariffs. Although we feel that our society must not be penalized of what happens in the SABC, but there must be a strategy to deal with the issue of tariffs. Because you are paying for petrol, you have a decrease of twice a year, and five times a year there is an increase. If you want to sustain the institution without being over-relying on the state's coffers, the issue of revenue is very critical for the organization to sustain itself. Chairperson, there is also one issue which I want to raise. It's about job security in the institution. A lot has been said. We don't know if it was the official view of the SABC, because most of us are informed even via the media on these issues. Where we heard that the SABC is considering to give retrenchment packages or early retirement packages, which is in contrast of what the states want to do, to create 5,000 jobs. So how does you defend the president's view of creating jobs, then let people lose their jobs? So job security is critical for us and for the institution. Jefferson, I don't want to go deep in this issue, but I read that when the acting CEO was appointed, there was an amendment made at the SABC's Articles of Association. What does that mean? To appoint the new CCO. Does it mean that I didn't want to raise the issue? I don't know how to phrase it, because I really, this is our first meeting. I want to also reach out the hands of friendship. let me stop it and let go forward to it. Thanks,
thanks, Chairperson. I'm also going to adopt that approach. I will not, Chairperson, because of time, harp on this question of the MCOP, the SAV, the SABC, in terms of recognition. But Dr. Ngubane, Difuna nje ukwenza a practical example so that when you go home, you would know what we mean by this. In this meeting today, the gentleman who is covering this meeting has only covered the three of you, after which he stopped. Just because this is a meeting with the NCOP. I'm practical. It has stopped now, as I'm speaking. I'm not sure where he is. It has stopped. This is what we are saying. This is exactly what we are saying. But look, if we were to be in a meeting with ESCOM fighting about what's this, Mitubi, yes. He would be focusing on us. Now, what does it say to the general populace about our behavior when we would be shown in the public domain only when fighting? And when we were in such a relaxed mood, then they would say it is not newsworthy. I wonder if you get what I'm saying. But it has been covered. Chairperson, on revenue generation, I want to go straight to this question of TV licenses. There was a debate, Chairperson, on the restructuring, on the mode of collection of this revenue. I think it was before the restructuring of the board. Just to check, I had issues also with that approach. I'm not sure whether it was abandoned or not. But then I'm inviting the meeting to read with me slide 47, the last bullet. How far, let me ask that question, because I go with that one. It's somehow covered. How far are your discussions with the Department of Communication? Because the distribution of the set-top boxes, I know, is not your responsibility. While the revenue generation through TV licenses is your competence,
Now, how far then have you started the discussions, and how far are you with it? Because I buy that one. That if then Umlenzana, who is known that is not indigent, we would say, look, here is a set of box. Even if you buy it, let's check how far are you in terms of your TV licensing and all. Then you are cleared, then you are able to buy, as you used to do when people are buying TV. The second one, Chairperson.
The second one.
Is it? Okay. You have a program here which is touching lives. Just to check the monitoring part of it. Because it's a nationwide kind of a program. Lest you see some provinces being disadvantaged in the process. And while it was started on a very, very good kind of a note, it then brings in other things now of other provinces saying, but we do have people, but there's no coverage and all that. Chairperson, there is a slide here, it's a comment, which we would need that it be corrected and we get a feedback in writing. All the slides which say provincial input do not give us, Dr. Ngubane, what we want. All of them. I can quickly go to this one, which is in front of me, it's slide 44. They are all the same. When you are talking of the size of employees, it does not tell us about gender. It does not tell us about youth. It doesn't tell us about people living with disabilities. We demand that information. We must get it. And when you respond, you must give us time frames as to when are we going to get that. There is this question which was raised, but I've put it the other way around here. We have seen SAPC visiting provinces. Can you tell us how is the morale of your workers as you are visiting them, particularly after these contradicting statements around the retrenchment? And very, very lastly, I've stopped now counting. Who are these independent contractors? I'm asking when I'm saying who are they. One, in terms of geographic location, the province, is there any geographic spread? Who are they in terms of gender, youth, and also people with disabilities? And further, what is their PDI status? Avoiding a situation where you enrich the already rich in the name of this independent contractor. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You've covered me on the reports from provinces on breakdown, gender breakdown. That one I wasn't going to leave at all. Otherwise, I was going to wake up dead. You were going to bury me. But the other one is that in some of the AG's reports, they indicated that SAPC work in silos. So I would like to know whether provinces are fully independent. If it's yes, when is this going to change to ensure good governance? Provinces work, because they now report to Auckland Park. Are they reporting to Auckland Park? If yes, when are the provinces going to have, like, you know, independence? Then the second one from me, provinces are where citizens provinces are where citizens are. and local stories and contents are generated. What is the role of provincial offices to ensure that local stories are heard and played on radio and TV? The last one with DTT coming, are we going to see provincial channels and provide job creation for students and emerging filmmakers to showcase their potential and develop sustainable jobs? And also in the provincial report, it's only one province that mentioned community radio stations. I can't remember which province, but other provinces, KZN, other provinces didn't say anything about community radio station. Your relationship, for example, Ligwala with BCR, Babaton radio station, community radio station, or Muse radio station. You know, I'm mentioning this because we want to start visiting these radio stations. I'm happy. I think I heard the group CEO, acting group CEO, saying they are attending meetings in they are holding meetings in provinces, and that's what we will do with you. When you go, if when you go to a province, we will also arrange our meeting in that particular province. If you can give us your program early, so that we integrate our program with your program, so that we go with together with you to these provinces, so that when we are seated here, then when you report, then we know that this is really happening. But I want to congratulate all the provincial managers, but more especially KZN. You know, I don't want to say Mpumalanga, I'm from Mpumalanga, but I want to say KZN, you really did well. You really did well. You know your story. I want other managers to follow suit, because we must give praise where it is this. Yeah, thank you very much. Dr. Mulifa, over to you and your team. Dr. Ngubane, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks to honorable members of the committee. When we were indicating time constraints, Chairperson, that was really not out of not understanding the need of this committee to be sufficiently briefed and informed. It's just that to be away from the SABC for 2 days, it's like being away for 2 years, a large corporation and one that really requires tight management. So it was really out of that, Chairperson. But otherwise, we are quite prepared to stay the duration of this meeting, because we think that this committee needs the information that is raised here.
Can I make things easier to say on the information that you don't have? You tell us that you will send it in writing, but you tell us by when.
Right. No, thank you, Chairperson. I will deal with a great deal of the questions that have been raised, and then the Chief Technology Officer will deal with the DTT one, and the Group Executive Stakeholder Relations and Provinces will deal with the question of the situation on the ground in the provinces and the morale of workers. And where possible, I'll also ask the head of strategy, Mr. Ndaba, just to deal with the questions pertaining to training and skills development, and then the chairperson of the board for this round of questions will then deal with the issue of vacancies at executive level. That's how I have grouped the questions. Now let me start with the question of job creation versus reports of retrenchments that were reported. First and foremost, Chairperson, the SABC, and this is by way of background, the SABC, owing to the financial crisis it was going through in 2008 and 2009, obtained a loan from Nedbank of 1 billion rand, and as part of that facility being made available to the SABC, Treasury made a guarantee to commercial institutions to provide that money to the SABC. But that guarantee was made on condition that the SABC met certain stipulations. And there is a whole series, there's a whole range of conditions that were prescribed to the SABC as part of the guarantee for the loan. One of the conditions, Chairperson, was that the SABC must manage its headcount. Now, managing headcount is something that can be done in many ways. But there was recognition that the SABC could well be bloated in certain respects, or there could be a duplication of duties in others. But managing headcount meant the SABC had to ensure that it achieved more with less, and the SABC drove efficiencies. So when we manage headcount, that does not necessarily translate into massive retrenchments. It is unfortunate that that is how this matter was reported in the public media, but the whole thing is about the SABC managing its headcount. And this is what we are doing, and that is why we even said the new structure of the SABC that has just been approved by the board is a structure that ensures that you have a very lean management at the top and you avoid a bloated structure at the top. So that if you like, you have too few chiefs but many Indians in the operation, instead of vice versa, where you have too many chiefs but few Indians. So it's part of managing the headcount, it's part of managing the organization. The flip side of that, Chairperson, is that yes, there is now also this whole government program of job creation, which the SABC also pays serious attention to, and we have looked at opportunities how we could also make a contribution to job creation. And one of the areas we will be making a contribution in job creation is the rollout of DTT. In fact, we have even determined a number that as we begin to roll out this process, about 375 jobs direct will be created when this process gets underway. But 375 jobs are just direct jobs that will be created. But with DTT, there will be 1,000 more that will be created indirectly. And what are indirect jobs? These are jobs that will be created because with the SABC having more channels and more platforms, it means more content will be commissioned, more production production houses will be asked to create content for the SABC, and as that is done, jobs will be created in the process. We also continue to create jobs in one way or the other with our internship program. At the moment, the SABC has about 600 interns that are in the organization to receive training. So we are empowering people, and by empowering them with skills, we also then make it possible for them to be considered for employment either in the SABC or elsewhere in the industry. And it is only the SABC in the media industry, as far as I know, that really runs such programs where you have a continuous program to provide internship. The SABC, in fact, Chairperson, is the training ground for broadcasting and other media organizations just cream off what the SABC has developed. So there is that conscious effort to make sure that we contribute to job creation. Soccer Zone, who sponsors it? I think the question of sponsorship and all that, these are issues that fall in a whole basket of revenue streams of the SABC. We generate revenue in many forms through classical advertising and through sponsorship. Yes, indeed, we have programs that are sponsored as a way of generating revenue, but we also have programs where classical advertising is invited so that the SABC can generate funds to sustain the operation. But I think this question that was raised must be understood in the context of the funding model of the SABC. That remains a critical question, and unfortunately it is a question that must be addressed by government. It is something that must be addressed, among others, by this committee and other committees on government, and indeed the ruling party and other governing structures, because the SABC Chairperson derives 80% of its income from commercial revenues, and only 20% is derived from what you could call public funding. And of that 20%, a mere 14% is from TV licenses, and the rest is from direct funding from government, which is funding 2%, which is funding for things like education programming and capital expenditure for the SABC's operations. So, truth be told, 80% of the SABC's funding is from commercials, and yet the SABC is expected to deliver a public mandate. This is the only institution in the whole world that is expected to deliver public mandate and yet funded through commercial funding. It is dichotomous. It is something, in fact, that is contradictory in terms, to take commercial funding and yet you are expected to deliver a public mandate. So that question of the funding model, Chairperson, is something that must be addressed, because it touches on a number of other things that the SABC is expected to deliver. And funding, of course, I cannot overemphasize the fact that to run an institution the size of the SABC, you need a very stable funding base. Risk management, it is an important thing that as an organization, we have risk embedded at all levels of the organization. And the question was, who then does this? We have established structures in all the divisions and all the departments of the SABC. And these risk management structures are structures that are intended to determine and detect potential risk to the organization at an early stage, so that you do not end up with a situation where the organization has been exposed to serious risk, like we had experienced in recent years without having detected possible danger coming. So risk management is really intended to ensure that when we procure or when we commission content, risk is taken into account. And risk is around issues of irregular expenditures, fruitless expenditure, to make sure that the organization is never exposed to risk. The question of managers who are implicated, again, Chairperson, by way of background, the Auditor General of South Africa the Office of the Auditor General conducted investigations into the financial affairs of the SABC, the management and governance process in the SABC, and that report produced very serious findings, some of which included serious allegations against some members of the SABC, including members at senior levels of the organization. After that report was produced, the board of directors, under the chairpersonship of Dr. Ben Ngubane, invited the Special Investigations Unit to take that work of the Auditor General further, because the Auditor General operated within a set time frame and there was still a lot of work to be done. So the board brought in the Special Investigations Unit to continue the work that was started by the Auditor General and to proceed to make further investigations on the allegations that were made. The report has just been completed, and this has been handed over to the board, and the board has therefore instructed the relevant authorities and arms of the law to look into those allegations with a view that action must be taken. And over and above that, we have also brought in our own internal audit systems to follow up some of those cases. So managers who resign because they are implicated in the Auditor General's report or the Special Investigation Unit report, that really is neither here nor there, because if the matter is handed over to the police, those people will still be pursued, whether they are in the SABC or they have left the employ of the SABC. So the investigation that was conducted by the Auditor General and subsequently followed up by the SIU is something that will be pursued to its logical conclusion. So a lot of work still has to be done. Strategy is not theory, it is practice. We are beginning in some areas, we are beginning to see the fruits of the turnaround strategy. For example, in the last quarter, we were able to raise debtors' money payable to the SABC, which had already been written off, an amount more than 140 million rand. That was really raised because of the systems that have been put in place as a result of the turnaround strategy. The recovery phase that we have just emerged from and now going on to stability is a practical step that is currently underway. So it is not just theory, but work in progress and work with tangible results and tangible deliverables. Job creation, I've dealt with that, and also the whole question about what the plans are in place. Now the question on independent contractors, let me just explain this, Chairperson, that the nature of the SABC, it is an organization where sometimes you bring people with certain technical skills to come in only for a certain limited period of time or for a limited number of days. You really don't need those people for 5 days a week or 20 days a month. These are people like your graphic artist who will come in only for about 2 hours to do the graphic work that you need. These are people like studio camera operators who will come in, for example, at 5 o'clock in the morning. By 8 o'clock, their work is done because they were brought in to produce morning life and nothing else. You then don't need them for the rest of the day. Imagine if the SABC were to employ all these people full-time. This organization would run at a loss. And in fact, the financial crisis we witnessed in the last 2 to 3 years would become, in fact, something of a Sunday school picnic, because the SABC would carry on its books so many people, and with the resultant overhead implications. So we do have a pool of skills, that is brought in to perform certain duties that you really wouldn't require for a full-time employment. And some of that pool of skills include people like people who work on outside broadcast productions. Now, over the weekend, when you have a football match here, a rugby match there, and a cricket match there, you deploy OB facilities, your outside broadcast trucks. And these people only come in on a Friday to rig and on Saturday to shoot a football match. After that, it's done. You don't need them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we wouldn't employ. And this is a universal practice. It is not unique to the SABC. You go to the BBC, you go to Australia Broadcasting Corporation. It is the nature of the broadcast business that you will have independent contractors. So many of these people, and that also applies to presenters. Presenter you either have on SABC, one, a continuity presenter, will come in at 6 o'clock in the evening to do continuity announcing from 6 to 9. After that, the job is done. So I can cite a range of examples, Chairperson, just to explain that situation. SuperSport, Sport 5, I think we will need a good time, Chairperson, to take honorable members through this whole discussion. Because all what is reported about this matter, in fact, is fraught with inaccuracies, is fraught with, a lack of understanding of what happened. But briefly, Chairperson, because this is something we can provide a written account of what happened, but, in brief terms, I can just explain that the going rate for international matches to acquire rights, by the way, the right to broadcast an event is something that is not in the control of the SABC. Rights are held by international or continental agencies. And if you have to broadcast an event like a soccer match, you have to obtain rights from the holders. And the going rate for a match like Bafana Bafana versus Niger, historically that rate has been about 500,000 rands. And this was the time when these rights were held by national football associations. But in recent times, the Confederation of African Football took these rights away from national associations like SAFA or Nigeria Football Association. And when CAF took those rights away, the fees were inflated. For example, such a game would ordinarily cost about 500,000, but now it costs 10 times more. Sports 5 was demanding 5 million from the SABC. Now, 5 million, a quantum leap from 500,000, that is not only exorbitant or ridiculously excessive, but it is also unsustainable and way above the universal market rate. And there is no way the SABC could continue to pay 5 million rand every time Bafana Bafana played. Where would that money come from when we don't actually even get very good public funding to run this institution? But we have nevertheless engaged the rights owners to make sure that we can secure the right to broadcast those events and to make sure that we can bring the sport to the soccer-loving South Africans. So the negotiations are continuing. We will be engaging next week on Monday. We are traveling to France to meet Sports 5 to engage them on this matter. And by the way, Chairperson, it's not unique to the SABC. I had just learned last night that Nigeria also had a blackout for similar reasons, because Sports 5 was demanding $750,000, which translates to about 5.2 million rands. They were demanding that for the soccer match between Nigeria and Madagascar. Now, Madagascar is not even placed anywhere on the ratings, but they were demanding that exorbitant fee, and Nigerian television authorities said, we don't have that kind of money. And there was a blackout in Nigeria. And as we speak, I believe Ghana Broadcasting also is refusing to pay that amount of money, because the rights have been taken out of Africa and they are now being held by an agency in France. Now, this is one time when people really should be rallying behind broadcasters and say, we now understand the pressure under which you have to operate and the excessive demands that are being made by rights holders. We wouldn't, as the SABC, really ignore the wishes of our viewers to broadcast these matches live. Chairperson, other issues, we will deal with them, but let me just explain that the whole thing about alcohol advertising, as the SABC, we haven't advanced a position as to really what the position is about alcohol advertising. A lot of discourse has been issues that have been raised by the print media, that if alcohol advertising is introduced, they stand to lose so much. And then they quote figures that, and also the SABC will lose so much. They have elected to speak on our behalf. We haven't really expressed a view, truth be told, on the matter. But to give you history, when tobacco was banned, cigarette advertising was banned in this country in 1996, the SABC was the first to support that initiative, and we said we are prepared to forego a 30 million rand revenue per annum. But on alcohol, we haven't even said anything. It's just something that has been raised on other platforms. I think we are sensitive about these matters. Chairperson, TV license, I think it is something that we would welcome Parliament to reopen and discuss how, you know, this revenue stream could be improved. But again, it takes you back to the whole question of the funding model for the SABC. Because is license fee sustainable? I don't think so. I mean, we have a situation where some very, very successful broadcasters in developed economies like Sweden get 100% funding from the state coffers. No questions asked. All what the board of that broadcaster does is to say, these are our expenses for the coming year. These are public mandate programs that we must create and broadcast. It will cost so much. This is the capex we need to sustain the operation, and they hand that over to Treasury and funding is provided. It's only in our case where we are expected to deliver public mandate when yet 80% of our funding comes from commercial advertising. So, Chairperson, would really like this whole thing about TV license re-looked at, and it's something that would like to engage when we come back to this committee next time. But we have advanced before proposals that you look at a levy. And these things were raised from the times when Trevor Manuel was Minister of Finance. The SABC has always come forward with a range of models to be considered, and that has yet to deliver results. Touching Lives, I think this is a program that we would like to see work, and it is not only confined to one province, but it is something that must work in all provinces, because Touching Lives is about mobilizing social partnership, the SABC and the communities it serves. That is the message it really communicates, and we would welcome any further inputs on how we could improve on our use of that program, which is intended to touch lives. Chairperson, some of the issues that were raised, if I have not dealt with them, I have noted just about all the questions. We will provide written answers, but I now want to ask the Chief Technology Officer, Richard Wagon, just to deal with the DTT questions and the low power transmitters, and after that the Group Executive Stakeholder Relations, Mr. Claudio Motsweneng, will deal with the situation in the provinces, and Mr. Ndaba, if there is any issue outstanding with regard to human capital issues, you could deal with that, and then the chair, you will close with the other matters that were raised.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members of the committee. There was a question about CENTEC and CASA in terms of frequencies. It's CASA that is the organisation that awards the frequencies. So if there is a frequency that's identified in a market and they want to make that frequency available to the market, there will then be an invitation to apply. And then CASA will then manage that process of determining who will get that frequency. Or, in the case of the SABC, certainly for our low-power transmitters, we will actually make a request to ACASA for the use of a frequency in a defined area. And then it's up to ACASA will then consider that application, and then it's ACASA that will then either approve the use of that frequency or not. If they approve the use of that frequency, we then get given a license which sets out the technical parameters with which we can operate, and I then contract with CENTEC to provide the infrastructure to operate on that frequency. There was a question about the collection of revenue. This was the last bullet on page 47 in relation to the set-top boxes. It's stated in the Broadcasting Digital Migration Policy from August 2008 that the set-top boxes for DTT will have a technology in those boxes that will prevent them from being exported outside of South Africa and will also limit the introduction of grey imports into the market. And this is to protect the set-top box manufacturing industry in South Africa. That technology that we will be putting into the boxes will also enable us to individually address the boxes, so we can send messages to the viewers saying, pay your TV license, or we haven't paid your TV license. And so we will be able to do that. Also, through the sale of set-top boxes, we will be able to make sure that we've got people's details so that we can follow up on the payment of their TV licenses as well. Just like you have to provide your details when you buy a television set. In terms of provincial television channels on DTT, then again the BDM policy from August 2008 sets out a requirement for the SABC to provide what's termed regional channels. That is forming part of our channel lineup that we will be making available on DTT. DTT is due to launch next year. The Minister of Communications has said the launch is in April 2012, and there's been some industry discussions about what that launch will be, and when making sure that that launch will work when the set-top boxes are available into the market. When we initially launch DTT, we will be operating a single network, but CENTEC is investigating putting in a regional transmission infrastructure, which will enable us to provide provincial services. So there will be the multiplex, for example, that the SABC has been allocated capacity on. We could actually operate 9 versions of that multiplex so that we could provide 9 variants of the SABC channels if we wanted to. And that would enable us to provide local programming and local news on DTT. That won't be there at launch, but that's something that can be built into the rollout of DTT as DTT is rolled out. I think those are answering the questions that were asked. Thank you.
Thank you very much. When it comes to the issue of provinces, whether they are independent, yes, they are independent. The turnaround strategy is addressing this issue. In the past, they were not having powers to do anything. They were just there, but very senior people in the provinces. when I started here, I said, now at least they are here. If there are issues, members of NCOP, you can deal with them. They are able to take their own decisions in their provinces. So they are independent. For us in Gauteng, because I also come from province, I think I shall talk to you, to Mr. Jacobs. I think we need tea more, to have tea. You know, in the past, when we were mayor there, we were having all this tea so that we can brief other members here. I think we need to go back so that we don't have more questions. We will clarify to them. when it comes to the issue that I need to just highlight, Honorable Member did raise another important issue about the turnaround strategy when it comes to SABC. For me, turnaround is good on paper, but you need people. And I'm always saying to our colleagues, we need to turn around people's minds if we want to get SABC right, which Mr. Mulefe is doing very well to turning everybody around, because if you don't turn their minds, you can't do anything, even if you have that good paper. When it comes to the issues about sports legends, as you were saying, and, you know, actors and so on, I know it is a painful situation where sometimes you find these people, they just passed away, they don't have anything to rely on, their families are struggling. From stakeholder management, we are having meetings with them now to include all sports legends, all those artists, as you know. They have their own unions now. We are dealing with that union to address the same issues. As SABC, how can we contribute? And it's not about that issue when it comes to the content and drama also, because the issue that they are also raising is, if you look our dramas, we don't reflect our own culture. So those are the issues that we are addressing at the SABC, to say, you have Abos Dumos and so on, those dramas, they just disappear. But we need those dramas back. Those are the issues that we are addressing. If you look at the sports, we have addressed this with the group chief executive to say, look, we are pushing more young people. But our view was, you also need experienced people. Those people who play soccer in the past, some of them, if you have seen, they were not there, they are back at the SABC. So when it comes to those issues, I think we are doing well. We are not there yet, but we are addressing those issues. When it comes to staff morale in the provinces, especially when it comes to this issue of retrenching people and so on, we have addressed those issues. We are not going to retrench people at operational level, because we don't have people at operational level. We are only having problem at on top, where the structure was more bloated. So we address those issues. But you know, people always, until we finalize the turnaround strategy, the stability at the SABC, people will still think whether they are there or they are not there. But they will be there. We are not. We don't have problem about those issues. But also, it is not us in Auckland Park. We have provincial managers, empower them to engage people every time, to tell them about the latest, because the issue is communication. Because when you go to SABC sometimes, people will raise other issues, like the chair, as you are saying, you go with us, you know, people, they become excited and raise other issues, but we have managers to deal with those issues and address those issues, because if there is communication, I don't think people will talk about other issues. And I want to say, when it comes to provinces, we produce content, whether it's drama, because you still have dramas being produced in the provinces, because we need to highlight that from all radio stations, just for job creation also. But those jobs are not permanent, as Mr. Mulefe is saying, because those people, they just come for drama and then they go home, but they also create jobs in the provinces. And even when it comes to news, we still have your freelancers, you know, a person who's there but is not working permanently for SABC, but that person is reporting for SABC. So we still pay. It's part of, you know, uplifting people in the provinces. And I think I have dealt with some issues, and Mr. Ndaba, you can deal with training issues.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think on the issue of training, my CEO here has really dealt with it very thoroughly. But I must also add, in this case, from a training perspective, we must commend the government as well. On an annual basis, just on the issue of making sure that we assist, we develop youngsters. I mean, we, from government, we get close to 10 million rands an annum, you know, where the we partner with government institutions around developing DJs, some engineers and youngsters that we sit with. But also from the SABC side as well, we get some money from CETA, which we get as a result of conducting our own training facilities. So that happens very well. As Mr. Mlefe has said earlier, on an ongoing basis, you have about 600 to 700 interns in the SABC in partnership with mainly government institutions. Recently, we've also collaborated with NEMISA to ensure that we partner with them in the different areas of the broadcasting skills by enhancing those skills, which actually, if you look at many of the community stations, you go to most of those DJs there or people that are working there, you'll find that they came through this process and system. So many of them is constituted by people who came through our hands. And indeed, we are the broadcasting institution and training ground for everyone. And if you go to any broadcaster in the country, you'll find that it comprises mainly of SABC people or people who train there at the SABC. So I think that we are really doing very well. At some point, perhaps when the members go through our organization, maybe it's one area that we will directly take you through and take you through some of those interns. So I think that we deal very well with that. That's one positive area. I'll hand over to our chairperson, Dr. Ngubane, to deal with the two questions.
Thank you, chairperson and members of.
Can the team switch off?
Thank you, chairperson and members of the civic committee. I think this has been a very useful exchange. We have noted the concerns and areas that need clarification. I can just point out that the SAPC has gone through a terrible period. You know, there was a debt when we came of about 900 million. We have managed to reduce that debt very significantly at the end of the financial year to the region of about 200 million. We are continuing to grow the revenues. So we hope that next year, come 2012 March, at least we'll have a profit of 12 million. I think we will have more than that, depending on the way things are going. There is not enough money to do all the things we want to do, and this is why we keep emphasizing that the public mandate has to be funded by government. It cannot just depend on advertisers who say, we don't like that program, so we're not going to advertise, and therefore you lose revenue. You know, when we have the State of the Nation address, for instance, there's no advertisement because they don't want to advertise on such a program. You know, so if we get some help from this committee to really argue for some substantial grant from government, we can do a lot of good public things that help our people's development. With regard to the vacancies, we had interviews somewhere very early in June or late May, so somewhere there. And I sent the results of the interviews to the shareholder. The shareholder has written back to say he must exercise his mind, I must give more information. We have finished that presentation, so we are going to see how long it will take before he can make a decision. Ultimately, he must decide whether he agrees with the candidate we selected, or he may say to us, go back and restart the process and interview other people, because those that you interviewed were not sufficiently acceptable. It's up to him. But that process has been done. With regard to the Chief Financial Officer, the Minister of Finance has given us the CV of a candidate.
he recommends must fill this position. So it's a matter of the group chief executive dealing with the candidate and establishing all sorts of things and get him to start functioning. The issue of the chief operating officer, that is subject to a court ruling. Some time back, when Minister Matsepe Kasapuri was still in the department, she's late now, the board recommended a candidate for the CEO position, but the minister rejected that recommendation. The candidate went to the High Court, got a ruling that the minister was made an invalid decision to reject the recommendation. Cabinet should have been the one to reject the recommendation. That matter is still pending. We are dealing with the shareholder to try and resolve it. So all the key positions, in fact, are almost complete, are almost filled, but it's a matter of process. The issue of the group executive for human capital services, well, we have appointed a senior GE, group executive person, to that position. So I would say, by and large, I mean, risk, we have got the candidate internal, I mean, the person in place, internal audit, we've got a very senior person from ESCOM in place already. So we are filling the critical positions. The issue, of course, is the government guarantee puts a very onerous position on us to reduce personnel expenditure. There's even a percentage that we are supposed to reach in reducing personnel expenditure. The sooner we can pay the government guarantee, the better for us, because then we will be able to do the right things that we want to do. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the responses. If it's the small... Thank you, Chairperson. I have something to ask here. In my community, a lot of people complain that ETV is clear 24/7, but with some of the channels, 2, 3, sometimes you don't, it's not clear. Can I be assisted? Okay.
Chair, they have not responded to one question that I have raised, but maybe they have noted it.
Yeah,
the percentage of viewership between the National Assembly and the NCOP.
No, I can give you a principled answer.
Okay.
The answer is that is not how news operates. We don't do quotas, that 50% for parliament, 50% for that. Just on principle. But I take the point when the chairperson opened, you know, this meeting, that I think far more greater attention could be given. And I think I take that point, that we could do something. But we may not end up with a situation where we will say there will be 50% coverage of the NCOP and 50% of the... Because there I will be promising something that is really not within the editorial, you know, considerations of how stories are lined up. But I think far more greater attention must be given to the activities of the NCOP, and I think this includes when the NCOP does you know, provincial visits, because that is when, you know, this institution is taken to the people. I think it is something that can also be looked into. So, but we will provide some written answers also about how many stories were covered in a month or in a particular period under review for the National Assembly, and how many stories. we can try and pull that out. But the principal chairperson, I would submit, needs to be taken into account that news does not work with quotas that you allocate so much for this. And it's driven by the newsworthiness of an event. And that will raise another honorable member discussion. And I know where you were going to. I will need another session. Thank you, Chairperson.
Apologies, Chairperson, but I didn't hear the question. Sorry. Could I ask to engage with a member of the committee afterwards to find out where that is and find out what platforms you're watching the programs on, and then I can get that investigated?
Maybe we can say it's not only in her province. You know, in all provinces, especially in the rural areas, during our taking parliament to the people in Sikukuni, when we were visiting the rural areas, there were people, women who were saying, I've got the TV, I've got it, but I even don't want to dust it because it gives me, you know, pain when I look at it and I must pay license and it's not playing. So that's why I said ICASA must also sit that side so that they listen, that the license is off, you know. So the I think when you give the response, can, yeah, even if it's not now, but for the whole committee to benefit. Thank you very much. Dr. Ngubane, acting group CEO, we were going to pray that, oh, there's pastor in it, we're going to pray that you don't act forever. We want you to be permanent. So that we work together, you know, like actively. So I see you've got issues in your fingertips, and we want to work with you really. Yeah, and what Mrs. Ramaphosa was looking us for, you know what? It's the first time you meet with us, and you lobby us. But let me say, that was on a lighter note. You just put that on the paper and then you give us so that we understand what that is. Honorable members, let me thank you very much. I know I've kept you for the whole day, and SABC, we apologize for you not catching your 6 o'clock flight, but there is 7 o'clock.
Chairperson, I believe we have missed that flight. We will send our hotel bill to the committee.
ICASA, also thank you very much. ICASA, all of you, farewell. We will. This is the beginning and not the end. Now regular communication is going to take place. Thank you very much.